everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm going to be here until 2 a.m. When I believe, is Steve Dale coming in again? Is he doing the 2 to 5 a.m.? Casera, is that who's, I think he's filling in for Nick.
I think so.
That's going to
be. I think it's, I'm not sure when, but I think so.
I think he is. Cause last night, no, as Carm was in for 2 shows, he did 6 hours of radio last night?
He was. So he technically did a Steve and Johnny shift. Because I guess they used to, back in the day, be from 11 to 5.
Right, so that works.
So, not so bad.
He had a great double. He pulled a double last night. Remember Hannah Stanley had to do that one night when a host was unable to make it because they were not feeling well.
Right.
She did 7 hours. She did Nick D's show plus Steve Cochran's show, I believe.
Oh, my.
So that was a 4-hour show, so 7 hours altogether. That's a haul right there. Maybe she did more? I don't know. There was a lot going on. Well, that's,
she did a whole day.
That's what I love about the day. That's what I love about the holiday season, though. Like, when I turn on the radio, I'm like, oh, this is so different. Because, you know, we all have our regular segments. Like, if you tune into my show, we've got sidecars. Like, tonight we have Dr. Charles J. Turk, who is joining us. And during the holidays, you'll hear, you know, Steve Dale in for me. Like, last night, he had a lot of singers on. And Hannah Stanley was in for Nick D. And then I was texting you and Hannah during the show. I'm like, I'm not working. Why am I chiming in? I can't help myself. I should just have to turn everything off, but I can't. And I don't know if anyone else is like me during the holiday season, especially this year, since it's been so cold, I've kind of tried to go out as little as possible. Tonight it is below zero. I hope that everyone is happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. And don't forget, the show is all going to be podcast. So once we're done with the show, you know, don't worry about, if you missed something or you wanted more information about something or you had to get out of the car or maybe you're going out drifting off to sleep. No pressure. You can always check out everything we ever say on iTunes because every single show is podcast there, or you can go to WGNradio.com. And by the way, we're celebrating New Year's Eve together. I hope you guys can join us. Charles, are you joining us for our New Year's Eve celebration at the Filament Theater?
I'm definitely on the fence, Patty.
I know you're definitely on the fence. I've noticed a lot of people, I started sending out invitations for the New Year's Eve party, and some people are like, oh, I already have plans. And this is my first time doing this, so I'm hoping to make a tradition in Portage Park, which is where I live. I live in Jefferson Park, actually, so I thought it'd be fun to keep something in the neighborhood. We have a lot of great restaurants, like the Gale Street Inn, which is one of our sponsors for the event, and we have 2 shows. We have 2 shows at the Filament Theater. We're going to have an earlier show at 7:30, which is a family-friendly show. We're going to play some games. We're going to play a version of Make Me Laugh. Paul doesn't know this yet. Comedian Paul Farvar and I are going to tell puns, and we're going to have a panel of kids, and whoever can make the kids laugh, we're going to go back and forth. You get a point for every joke that you tell that makes the kids laugh. And we have some prizes for the kids that participate. And we're going to do that. We're also going to play a game called Chucking Candy into Cans, which is basically our version of Bozo Buckets, but we don't use ping pong balls. We use packets of candy like M&Ms and Skittles and things like that.
That's a game that I always wanted to play, Patty.
Well, then you'll have to come and play Chucking Candy into Cans.
I was deprived
from a chair, maybe.
I was on the Bozo show once, and I didn't get to play. Instead, I was runner-up in a game of musical chairs.
So was it musical chairs in order to have the chance to play Bozo Buckets?
No, it was just musical chairs. No, I mean, it wasn't even runner-up. I was runner-up, and not even to play Bozo Buckets. I was just runner-up.
Wait, you played, so it was down to you and one, so it was down to one chair, you and one other kid playing musical chairs?
Yeah.
That's like my, Matt Fetterman joins the studio, and I'm having like every anxiety attack from childhood. I hated that game.
I lost to a girl, and I was so angry at the time because I knew, I was certain that the game was rigged. I knew that they were going to give it to the girl, and now I'm so proud that I lost to the girl.
In retrospect, in hindsight.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure when that, you know.
Do you wish, you kind of wish you tackled her a little bit?
Oh, no, absolutely
like,
not.
Maybe, just body blocked her?
No. I just, you know, I just sort of walked away coldly fuming, you know, which is just sort of, that was my MO back then.
And that was on television. So you lost a game on television. How widely was the Bozo? Because I feel like people in other parts of the country are familiar with Bozo.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Now, if I could log on, I could probably look it up on Wikipedia.
How far the reach was?
Oh, yeah.
On WGN, I don't know at what point they started. It was, but I don't know when it started to be the superstation, because it went from local to national at some point, or like in different markets. So I'm just trying to figure out how many markets Charles J. Turk lost musical chairs to a girl on television.
Oh, yeah. He got further than I did. I didn't even get to the show.
I never made it to the show. You know how many people, like, because it was years. The waiting list was years. And then you always hear stories about your friends. How did you get tickets to the Bozo
show? I'm not entirely sure. You know, maybe it was through my dad at work, you know, corporate Walgreens. I'm not sure how he scored those. You know, maybe it wasn't even him. Maybe he got it through a friend. But in any case, you know, suddenly we were there, and suddenly I lost. And that's what I remember.
Should we play? Should I have the kids play musical chairs too?
I don't
know.
You want to trigger me?
Well, you're not coming to the family-friendly show. Well, are you? You're coming to the adult show. So we do have two shows. We have a 7:30 show at the Filament Theater. Again, that first show is going to be family-friendly. Comedian Paul Farvar and I will be playing a bunch of different games and doing comedy, as well as music from Rob and the Representatives. And that show is going to go from 7:30 till 9. At 9 o'clock, we're going to ring in the new year so the kids can celebrate, do the countdown with Argentina. Thought that'd be fun to do. And then we're going to clear the house, and we're going to do our adult show at 10 p.m., stand-up comedy, full-on stand-up comedy. But we are also going to have some games. We're going to play What's in the Box, which I'm very excited about. We have not played that in more than a year. So we're going to play that live. And I have gifts to give away. I have my pillows to give away. The kids have some prizes too, but I have my pillows to give away. So I want to thank My Pillow for contributing to the show. So if you heard me do all the reviews and reads of my Pillow, you know that my husband has stolen my Pillow, and I had to buy another my Pillow. Now you can have your own My Pillow. Those are pillows. So I have pillows to give away. I'm also going to be giving away some of the books that I have received by authors who I've interviewed. So we have some of those to give away as well. So we'll do maybe some trivia and play some other games. Maybe we'll have the adults play chucking candy into cans. That's what we're talking about. So it's a lot of fun. You can go to my Facebook page, Patty V Show on Facebook, for the link to Eventbrite. Or if you just want to go directly to Eventbrite, you Google search my name for New Year's Eve, Patty Vasquez. That's Patty with an I. Tickets for the first show are less expensive because it is a shorter show, and it's not as much stand-up comedy. It's a lot of games for the kids. It's more of a party for the neighborhood, and those tickets are going to go fast. I only have 72 tickets total, and we've sold more than a third of those, and that's going to be for kids under 12. It's free. That's how much of a party I wanted to throw for the neighborhood. So if you're wondering what to do, if you got kids and you don't want to, like, just watch TV at home, or you want to do something fun with them that kind of feels like it's a little more special, I would love for you to come hang out with us at the Filament Theater in Portage Park. Kids under 12 are free, and it's $22 for adults, anyone over 12, so it's a bargain. And we're going to do obviously, alcoholic-free toast, but there will be beverages available for everyone to purchase, like beer and wine and things like that from the Filament. Then the second show is going to be, again, it's a two-hour show. We'll be ringing in the new year, have a champagne toast, and I've got party favors for everyone. I've got all your hats and your, noisemakers and what are the party poppers? Like, what are the things that you blow and then that just sounds weird. But like the streamer, the thing that like rolls out and rolls back. It's like a zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! You know that thing that does that noise. Well, I'm going to Google it during this break. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions about New Year's Eve, or let us know how you're celebrating your New Year's Eve, 312-981-7200. More with my guests when we come back. We've got some music from Matt Fetterman, who is a local favorite and has gotten some national attention recently. More after this on 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Musician Matt Fetterman also does a lot of great production work and provides musical background instrument.
All of those things.
Hold on, let me see. There you go. There's your
all those things.
All those things. So you have collaborated with a woman named Jennifer Porter.
Jen Porter. She's a Chicago staple. She's amazing. In addition to being a musician myself, I'm also a music producer. I've been working in the business for a lot of years. Met Jen many moons ago as she was getting her start. I did her first record in 2002. She came to me and said, hey, last summer I got this new, all these new songs. Let's do a new record, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward, we spent a year working on it. She's always on tour in the Caribbean and Europe and doing all sorts of fun stuff. So it's been an interesting process. But we finished the record. It's going to come out, I think, next month or in February, one of the two. So
okay.
This is unreleased material. No one's ever heard any of it.
All right. Woo. So world
this
premiere.
This is like a world premiere.
Right here on WGN Radio. So here's Jen Porter with Heart Sick Condition. I've got a crush on a criminal, and You're listening to music by Jen Porter, Heartsick Condition, and in the studio with us is the producer and instrumental background for piece is Matt Fetterman. We also have Dr. Charles J. Turk in studio, and really wonderful music.
It's crazy, like, what the job of a music producer does, what we do is we take kind of what the artist brings in and tries to make the best version of themselves, and sometimes you kind of have to help them even learn more about themselves. Like this song, Heartsick Condition, that we were just playing, originally she brought it to me and said, hey, I've got this song called I've Got a Crush, and it sounds like this, which is very different. It was a very reggae song.
Okay, here you go. I've got a crush on a criminal.
Same exact song.
Oh, really?
Same lyrics, same chords. But I kind of felt like, hey, why don't we do this? Let's take it off the guitar, put it on piano, speed it up, and make it a little more melancholy so it doesn't quite feel as reggae, which is where we got the more upbeat, almost like David Gray-ish kind of vibe.
And how did she respond to that? Is there ever a resistance? I'm guessing there's some people who are like, that's not how I hear it. It's not the way I envision it.
Frequently it is. I mean, it can be an uphill battle.
Right.
But a lot of times I convince them in a way that I'm not trying to change what you do. What I'm trying to do is make it more you,
right,
and more what your song's about. Because I've got a unique perspective, is I'm also a recording artist and a songwriter, and I frequently get in my own way. And so it's having someone that can help you get your own creative vision out there.
Right, because sometimes an outside perspective, I think, is
helpful.
I mean, that's why people have, it's why, you know, actors have directors.
Exactly.
You know, there's a vision.
Same kind of thing.
Right, where an actor might have an idea that they know this character, but when you're watching it or listening to a piece, and comics do this all the time, too, we give each other jokes because, you know, sometimes you can't see past that idea you have. Sometimes your brain just goes,
absolutely,
this is where I come to the end of this concept.
Absolutely.
And, especially if you've written a song and you put music to it, you're like, okay, I finished my product.
Right? Exactly.
And the project or whatever it is, my piece.
Exactly. And as a producer, kind of supposed to take that finished idea and help make it, I don't know if more accessible is the right word, but help make it the best version,
right,
of what it can be.
Right. You're taking something that's starting to bud and make sure that it gets the sunlight that it needs.
Exactly.
It gets enough water. It's got the right kind of soil. What kind of metaphors? What other metaphors can I use, Charles? Just trying to make sure that make sure that something is all that it can be.
Absolutely.
Now, do you ever do something where they record the version that they wanted, and you're like, as you just showed us?
Frequently, an artist will come in and have a demo recording, something they've done on their iPhone. I mean, I do the same thing with my stuff. And then they'll come in and say, this is what I got. And then we'll sit and say, okay, well, what if we did this here? Or what if we rearrange this so instead of coming in on the verse, let's kick it off on the chorus? Or what if we extend this? Ooh, what if we change the key? Because, you know, you're singing it in G, but it might sound better in A, in the key of A. And, it, you know, and that's kind of my job, because as an artist, you don't really can't see the forest for the trees. So we just, you know, we sit in a room and we work together. I mean, with Jen's project, we sat in her living room in the summer of 2016.
Right.
And said, hey, let's play with these songs. I brought my guitar. Let's see, what do these sound better on guitar or piano? Because she's a piano player, and she's an amazing piano player, but she tours so much, she carries a guitar with her. So she's wrote a lot of these songs on guitar, and she was really excited about it too. But I kind of said, hey, some of these songs would be better if it was back on your native instrument. And, you know, through conversations and we demoed all these songs in my studio up in Highwood. And then when it was time to record the record, we chose a studio that was right for this record. She says, from day one, she says, Matt, I'm a piano player, I'm a singer-songwriter, but I want to make a rock record. I want to make a record that sounds like a rock record. And immediately I thought of a guy named Steve Albini, who has a studio called Electrical Audio up in Belmont. He did, you know, one Nirvana's record, and Udo record, and he did a bunch of, you know, punk records, and he's got this legendary studio that just sounds absolutely amazing. Big, tall ceilings,
right,
and he's got great instruments and great mics. And so we went in there for 2 days, and we cut all the drums and all the pianos and vocals in that studio, in the Studio B, and it sounds like a rock record. I mean, because it's all like rock gear and microphones and big rooms and brick walls, and it set the tone for the album. And then I brought it back up to my studio and up in Highwood and did all the guitar playing and all the bass playing and all the mixing and percussion emulsion and all that kind of stuff.
And that's the thing is that I don't think people realize how much, it's almost like being a baker. A little bit of this, a pinch of that, so you gotta stir it up a little bit.
Absolutely.
How can people hire, I mean, if they want to record, if they've had the dream of recording an album or even a song, how do they hire you?
Just find me online, Matt Fetterman. Just find me on Facebook's the easiest way to find me. I'm pretty around.
And Google, I mean, this is the thing. Google Matt Fetterman music production, Highwood, all those things.
Yeah, all those things. Matt Fetterman, and there's only one of me, and there's a couple of me. There's actually a producer that produces movies out in Los Angeles named Matt Fetterman. So Matt Fetterman in Chicago.
Have your paths ever crossed?
No, we're friends on Facebook.
Are you really?
Yeah, we absolutely are. I try to talk to him every once in a while, but he seems too busy to respond. So.
Oh, there you go.
Well, this is 2 D's, 2 N's.
I'm 2 D's, 2 N's. He's 1 D, 1 N.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
The distinguishing factor. And how does someone download this music that you've shared with us from Jen Porter?
Jen Porter's record will be out next month. I don't know the exact date yet. She just got back into the country last week for the holidays. If you find me on Facebook, you can find it. Find her on Facebook too, Jen Porter. She's just outstanding.
We'll share some more music when we come back after the news. And we're going to have our friends from the House of Blues. Let us know what kind of fun festivities they've got going on over there. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Dr. Charles J. Turk, our pharmacist expert, who's also the CEO and president of Scientia CME, a continuing medical education company. You can go to Scientia CME if you need to keep yourself up to date on your certifications and license in the medical field. Is that the most succinct way to say that?
Oh, God, no. Yeah, I mean, you said it so much better than I could. I mean, at this point, you're a pro.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You are. No, I mean, it rolled off your tongue.
He said, Charles and I will be hanging out for the evening, and Matt Fetterman joins us as well. He is a music producer and musician himself. Some great music. You can also find his music online. Where's the best place to find your music?
My stuff, iTunes, Spotify, Pandora.
All those
good places, yeah.
Matt Fetterman, 2 D's, 2 N's, and then the usual E's and R's and A's where they belong with the F at the beginning.
Should have a business card that says that.
it's a little wordy for spelling your name.
Yeah, that sounded like Alphabet Fetterman.
And joining us is Ryan Shea, general manager for House of Blues. Is that the appropriate title?
Yeah, well, that's what we'll call me.
I would say president and CEO, but the people who have...
Someone would get mad about that.
They get mad about that. All right, then. He is the general manager for the House of Blues and some great festivities scheduled for the rest of this week. Tomorrow night, they've got their Hoppy Holidays. This is not like doing the bunny hop. This is your hoppy, happy beer.
This is an adult event.
Okay.
So, we do a lot of beer events at House of Blues, and we usually feature a local brewery or a couple local breweries, and this is one where we feature a ton of local breweries, and it's their seasonal winter kind of beer. So a lot of stouts, a lot of winter ales and that kind of stuff. And so we've got a lot of people that are going to be at that one, and it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night.
And the beer scene here has really exploded in the last couple of years, and what, you know, the sort of stylings, the craft beer selections are incredible.
Yeah, and you know, we do some great beer events throughout the year, and the beer geeks have really come to love hanging out, so they watch for this stuff, and we'll do a beer dinner every month, and we'll do this hopped up, it's a hopped up series, so we usually get a really cool band, get a bunch of beer. You know, it'll be a beer that's exclusive to House of Blues during that time that you can't get anywhere else in Chicago, and it's been a lot of fun.
I love what you guys have planned for tomorrow. So the special menu for the special winter beers, and including some of the, now is Daisy Cutter one of the winter beer? Because that seems like more of a...
That's just for us. Have some fun tonight.
Plus we brought some food with some kick. So those are good things to sort of cut through that.
We did. We brought some food over. We're featuring a bunch of food tomorrow night. We'll have our jambalaya. We'll have our brisket. We'll have our voodoo shrimp.
Some fried chicken.
Nice. There's a lot of good stuff.
And your cornbread is out of this world. It makes me so happy.
It's a jalapeno cornbread, and
as it should be.
And yeah, it's fantastic.
It's really good. Your food makes me giddy, Ryan. And then for New Year's, oh, by the way, the band playing tomorrow night is Get Up with the Get Down.
Yeah, have you seen them?
I have not.
They are great.
Well, we need to have them in studio.
You should write it down and have them come in.
Fortunately, you typed it up for me, so I can just fold this up.
I brought notes, and I left mine sitting over there, so I'm winging it. But yeah, so the Get Up with the Get Down is really funky band. Really good stuff. It's kind of like a James Brown sounding kind of thing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I love what you have prepared for tomorrow. And that's, again, from 5 to 8 tomorrow night, which is Thursday night, because we haven't gotten midnight yet. So I'm trying to get my schedule all squared away here. I don't know what day of the month that is, though. So it's like, let's see. If Monday was Christmas.
I think it's Thursday.
The 28th.
But I don't really know.
The 28th of December.
Today was my first day back at work in a while, and I was having a hard time figuring out
how long did you take off for the holidays?
I took about 3 or 4 days off. I can't remember.
Did you still call in to work to see how things were going?
Well, I always know what's happening. So we were closed.
Do you have a closer
camera? We have cameras. I have spies. It's the whole thing. I always know what's happening. But
You could have something on your laptop at home.
I do.
And yeah. Do you watch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. This was always my fear working in retail and the service industry. There were always rumors, like even at Zany's, there would be rumors about the owners and the boss watching us all on there. And they were. Okay.
Sometimes, like, there was a time we had a guy. I was in, we have cameras in there in my office, and I was in my office, and I was watching the cameras, being lazy, sitting at my desk, and we had a guy, one of our managers was at the front of the building, and he had, pulled really hard on the front door, and the handle came off. And I got on the radio, and I just said, Hercules, Hercules, and he just, like, fell over laughing, and he was like, and he looked around, and he's like, someone is watching me on the cameras right now. What is happening? So I like to play little tricks on them.
So you have like speakers in places where you're also watching them.
Not a speaker. It was on the radio.
On
this walkie-talkie.
Okay. Oh my God, is that funny? Well, but I would imagine it helps. That they know. I mean, look, the service industry is prone to, let's say, people who find ways around the system or to play fair. I remember working as a bartender, as a server. It's just rife.
Yeah.
With people who find ways to take things home that maybe aren't theirs.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to keep an eye on.
You have to keep an eye on things, but you also want to know how your kitchen's running. Maybe you also have an eye out for what, you know, maybe this is a way to tweak this and make it run smoother.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really not about watching the staff. I mean, you watch the staff a little bit, but it's about if somebody else comes in and knocks somebody over the head or does something.
Evidence. So, you're saying it's just for evidence?
Evidentiary purposes.
There you go. Charles, you ever worked anywhere where there might be a camera on you? Walgreens. When you were working behind the pharmacy counter at Walgreens, do you know if there were cameras on you?
Oh yeah. I mean, certainly we knew. But, you know, on the other hand, I mean, it's fairly important to have those there. I mean, you wanted to avoid diversion. You know, I mean, corporate wanted to avoid diversion. You know, and diversion, when we're talking about diversion, we're talking about controlled substances.
Right. Yeah.
Particular.
See, that's something you want to be
diversion
following.
Is something I'm
diversion
want to make sure about.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're talking about that here, and we're talking about that, you know, over where I used to work. I mean, we're talking about narcotics, so you know, they aren't playing around.
There's cameras on me all the time.
The Drug Enforcement Agency. So yeah.
Oh, really? The DEA?
Oh yeah. Okay. No, there are laws on the books. So,
that makes sense, actually.
It does.
You
don't think about that, but that makes total sense.
It's very tightly regulated. I mean, if there are pills that are lost, you know, that has to be reported to the Drug Enforcement agency. I mean,
wow.
You know, if
and you weren't working behind the pharmacy counter when we started having to show our IDs for Sudafeds and things like that.
Yeah, that's true. You know, for fairly different reasons.
Yes.
You know, and some of that is state by state, actually.
Right.
You know, when it comes to narcotics in particular, that is federal.
My friend Carmen Lynch has a joke about the pharmacist telling her that she has to show her ID for Sudafed and because you might be making crack with it. And she goes, "Oh, what else can I make with the stuff back here?" What else you got that I can sort of cook up? Matt, have you ever worked somewhere where there were cameras on you?
Not that I know of, but that's the scary thing. I mean, I work in, well, probably. I mean, I work in so many clubs and bars and restaurants. There's guaranteed. I've played at House of Blues, so yes.
That's true.
Multiple times. I've been on, he's probably seen me play on his stage before. And I just don't know it.
I didn't want to say anything.
I'm always surprised that there aren't, like, more texts from people about watching us on WGNRadio.com, because you can watch us the whole time.
True.
And, I mean, it's not much, I don't know what you want to see me doing. It's basically talking to you guys. But there you go. You can watch me anytime. Everyone can go to WGNRadio.com. Everyone right now is on camera. Esmeralda is in the traffic booth. It doesn't turn into the traffic hut unless Nick D is here. That's the only time it's a traffic hut.
Yeah.
And I seriously think we need to put some tiki decorations. I see it being a tiki-style hut.
Just like around where you can see the edge of the camera.
Yeah, so like a grass, so like some, you know.
Yeah, some nice grass detailing around the camera. Yeah, there you go, some detailing. You would every once in a while maybe see like a hula person go by.
Yeah, we wouldn't have you dress as that sort of would be.
Right.
You know, you don't want to wear a coconut bikini. Yeah, exactly.
It's cold up here sometimes.
It can be chilly. I actually went to my very first tiki bar. There's a place called Hala Kalaki. How do you pronounce it? Do you know how to pronounce it?
I don't know, but I drive past it all the time.
Oh, you have to go sometime. It's magic.
I've been. It's by my house.
It's magic. You live in River Forest? River Grove?
Oak Park. So
River something?
Yeah, the way over there.
It's by Gene and Jude's hot dog joint over by there. And it's magic. I didn't know that place exists. It's only drinks. That's all.
Stale pretzels.
And pretzels, and you can get some chips and some salsa.
I just want to be clear. It's not over by here?
It's over by there.
Okay.
We almost went there one night, but they didn't have food. We found out that there wasn't food. It's like you know when you go to Cheesecake Factory, and it's like page after page, and you're like, oh, I should have like taken notes and see what I liked on the first page? That's it's just that, but just drinks.
Booze. Wow.
It's just booze. They have your sweet drinks, your tart drinks, your toxic drinks. They'll tell you, like, this will get you messed up. It has, like, skull and crossbones.
What's toxic?
I mean, like, it'll make you drunk.
I mean, no, because toxic by its very nature means something very different.
Well, food by its very nature is toxic. It's actually somewhat of a poison.
In sufficient quantities, yes.
Yes, so there you go. It's a saying. Oh, you have to go there. If you drive
by it. I've been there.
I was going to say. It's magic. I drink
you really
out of
like this place.
I had a thing called a scorpion.
She was there before she came here.
No, I was not. I went last week, and I told the woman, because there was one with three different kinds of rum, including 151.
Ooh.
Right, so this is the night I was not working. This was, I believe, Friday or Saturday night, and it's all a blur. The server came over and asked how my scorpion was. I'm like, I can't feel my nose. It's sliding off of my face.
What color was it?
What color was my nose?
No.
My nose was fine. It had an orchid in it. That's all I needed to know.
That starts to approximate my definition of toxic.
It was wonderful. It's Hala Kalaki.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have to, you know what, this is not fair or kind to the business. And then people were like messaging my friend Elliot. They're like, oh my God, I love that place. And he said, why have you never told me about it? And they said, because it's our secret. If you know, we don't want to spoil it. And of course, now I'm on the air. Because I want everyone to enjoy it.
You haven't said the name correctly, so you're fine.
Hala Kahiki. Hala Kahiki.
Hala Kahiki.
You got to do a bit of a tiki pub crawl.
Yeah.
Because there's the ones here in the city now.
Oh.
Yeah, there's Lost Lake.
Okay.
And then just down the street is Three Dots and a Dash.
I heard they're closing.
Three Dots and a Dash?
No, maybe it's something else. It sounds like a grammar thing.
You don't want to spread rumors.
No. You're absolutely right. I don't know
but
if they
are. But there's those two tiki bars, and they're very much in that same vein.
She's a tiki expert.
Have you been to Hala Kahiki?
I haven't. It's a little too far for me, since you got to get there driving and stuff. But I've been to Lost Lake. I've been to Three Dots and a Dash.
Oh, no. We have to go to Hala Kahiki. It's on River Road, 2834 River Road. And I asked them, I said, what do I have to order in order, so I can have a really cool glass, you know, like those, like the tiki, you know, statues and things, like the brown ones with the face on it and everything. And they said, we stopped serving our drinks in that because people were stealing them. So let's talk about that when we come back. Let's talk about the, because I want to find out.
They need cameras.
312-981-7200. We're not going to rat you out, but what's the coolest thing you've ever stolen from a restaurant? Because I have friends who've stolen things from, like, legendary restaurants, and I might be married to somebody who may have stolen things in Ireland. 312-981-7200. We're not encouraging you to do it, and we'll find out from General Manager of the House of Blues why they discourage it. I'm just saying, it hurts everybody. But what have you done? More after this on 720 WGN. The number's 312-981-7200. Thank you. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Dr. Charles J. Turk, writing Sidecar tonight. Musician and music producer Matt Fetterman in studio with us, sharing some new music from Jen Porter with us. And we have the general manager of the House of Blues, Ryan Shea, in studio with us. They have their Happy Holidays event tomorrow night, 5 p.m. to 8. They'll be featuring some special winter beers, their Voodoo Shrimp and Fried Chicken, Jambalaya, Brisket, Ribs, and the band Get Up With The Get Downs will be playing, performing live. And then New Year's Eve at the House of Blues, Flogging Molly is going to be playing along with the Tossers and Flatfoot 56. The New Year's Eve dinner, they're also going to have Mike Wheeler playing and Corey Dennison. And a lot of great events. They also have more music, The Lucky Boys, Confusion, with The Waiting Game, and Top Shelf Liquors. I kind of love that name.
Yeah.
Top Shelf Liquors.
It's spelled L-I-C-K for those of you playing at home. A little play on words.
It's all good stuff. We've been talking a little bit about people stealing items from restaurants. I went to the Hala Kahiki Tiki Lounge in River Grove, and they were telling me that they no longer feature really cool glasses because people would steal them. And they had somebody created a website about what did you steal from the Hala Kahiki Tiki Lounge specifically.
Wow.
Right. So they were like, all right, well, that's it. No one can have any more fun here anymore, although they have really good drinks, so it's all good. And we have on the line with us, Matt. I was asking, what have you taken from an establishment? Now, Matt, we're not going to rat you out. We're not going to call the authorities on you. What have you walked out with that did not belong to you?
Well, by the way, hi.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Almost New Year, and I hope your Christmas was good. I'm doing great, Patty.
Excellent. What are you doing? What are you doing for New Year's Eve?
I sleep from 9 to 11, and then I go out and I Uber drive.
Ah, gotcha. It's going to be a busy night. All right, good. So hopefully you'll be busy around the area of the Filament Theater in Portage Park, where I'll be performing, and people can grab a ride from you in that area. My show's going to be from 7:30 to 9 for families, and then from 10 p.m. to midnight for everybody else, for adults and such. And you can go to Eventbrite for tickets. And if you need a ride, Matt might be your Uber driver that night. So what have you taken, Matt?
Well, it was in college, and they've since changed the rules. But when I was at this school, you couldn't take food out of the cafeteria. So I had a habit. Apparently, everybody else did, too. I just didn't know it at the time. People snuck sandwiches out in their pockets.
So it was the food from your dorm cafeteria, which was food that you had paid for, but you weren't supposed to leave with it to store in your room.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No. I can see that. What's wrong? Ryan's shaking his head.
I'm surprised we didn't disguise his voice. something so brutal.
He's saying that you are not a bad person. is what he's saying.
No, the very first time I ever did that.
Yeah.
The head of the cafeteria came out to me and said, "If I ever catch you doing that one ever again, I'm going to make sure that they suspend you or expel you. Am I clear?" And I just went, you know, it's a ham sandwich. It's really not that big of a deal.
Lesson learned. Never anger the lunch lady.
I don't think I ever left our dorm cafeteria or, you know, or whatever they called it, you know, the food place. But what I did, because I knew we were paying for it, I ate an excessive amount at every single meal, and then I would go back to my room and be like, well, that sucked. Let's order some Grog's pizza. So, yes, I gained the freshman 30. I know it's 15. Shut up. I gained all of it.
Gained 50, so it's okay.
There you go. What's all those ham sandwiches? All right, thanks, Matt. You're sneaking off with your
bye
ham
bye
sandwiches.
Dear.
Happy New Year. We'll talk to you again soon. And we have Judy on the line. Judy, so my husband has in the past, and he's going to hate that I'm saying this, but he has taken things from businesses, so he has a memento of it. And he did it when we were in Ireland. He took a couple of pint glasses that I broke one on accident. I'm like, that's your fault. That's karma. You didn't deserve that glass. What have you taken, Judy?
Well, now that the statute of limitations is up for it, I guess I can confess.
Okay.
Before we were married, my husband and I went to a resort, beautiful, old-fashioned one in Wisconsin, and the dining room was absolutely gorgeous, and I took the salt and pepper shakers and slowly slid it into my purse.
Oh boy! And what did the salt and pepper shakers look like?
Oh, they were like crystal cut.
Oh, fancy.
Oh. But you know what? I think this might run in the family.
Uh-oh.
I had one grandmother. It was a family joke. We take her out to dinner ever since I was young, and she would take all of the sugar packets and put it in her purse.
I've been out with people who do that, and I'm always like, really? I mean, and I just imagine their purse is just, like, filled with sugar packets, or, like, sugar packets that burst, and then their purse is just lined with, like, sticky objects. So did they ever use the sugar packets?
Oh, my grandma, yes. When she died, and we had gone over there a few weeks later, we opened one closet, and I swear there were 100 rolls, not packages, rolls of pastel toilet paper. We didn't have to buy for, like, 2 years.
So she was stealing toilet paper from places?
No, I think she actually bought. But have you ever seen pastel lately?
No, I've never seen.
I always wondered when did paper trees for, like, homecoming, how come they never used pastel? They always used the plain white paper.
The white. I haven't seen colored toilet paper in a long time, pastel colored toilet paper. Like the pinks and the light greens. And I remember, do you know what she's talking about?
My grandma had pink toilet paper, if I remember correctly.
You know, Judy, this may be a little bit of a personal question, but, you know, when you took those salt and pepper shakers, did you get any bit of a thrill from it? You know, or did you, you know, or was it really truly just because they were that beautiful? I mean, did you get any thrill from the actual act of taking them, independent of the fact that they were beautiful?
No, I did not receive a vicarious thrill. They were just beautiful.
Do you still have them?
Yes.
No! I love that. I don't encourage this any such behavior, but go Judy.
I could tell you, you know, I mean, when I was very young, you know, I was wondering if if I could steal. Okay, I was wondering if God would know that I had stolen.
Oh.
You know, I was wondering. I tested the boundaries when I was a, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I was 4 or 5 or how old I was, but I was really curious as to whether or not I would get caught. So over in the grocery store in the checkout line, you know, with my dad, I decided to steal a pack of Bubblicious gum. I think it was watermelon flavored.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I didn't get caught. And so it answered my question.
And that was the last time you ever stole anything?
It was.
Okay, then. You proved your own point. There we go. Judy, thank you so much for that story. Have a wonderful new year, okay?
You too, Patty. I love your show.
Oh, I love hearing from you. We'll talk to you soon.
Kiss me before I go insane.
Yes.
We have musician and music producer Matt Fetterman in studio sharing some of the remarkable work by artists that he works with. Who are we listening to right there?
That is a song by Jeannie Tanner. We were in here actually in February promoting the release of this album. The singer's name is Kimberly Gordon, and it's off an album called Words and Music by Jeannie Tanner, and it was actually just named by Howard at the Chicago Tribune, one of the best jazz records of 2017.
Congratulations!
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. It's my first big co-production. I co-produced this record with Jeannie and a gentleman named Dan Murphy. And it's kind of the first big accolades for something I've been a part of, which is kind of nice.
And there's a deliciousness to that music as it builds to when she comes in and starts singing, and then it's another layer on top. Like, you can hear where that's like, oh, I mean, it doesn't work any other way than the way you brought it together.
It's true, and that's the funny thing with that song specifically, or I'm sorry, with this project specifically. We had 12 different singers singing on this record, and we tried to figure out how to best capture it. And so we decided, you know what, let's set up a studio in your living room, Jeannie. And we spent 3 or 4 days in her living room recording all these artists. And it was the same band, just singers coming through every hour.
So you're adding all these elements and finding how it blends together.
Exactly. Okay. So, I mean, I'm going to play a couple things here real quick. That here's that same song, like straight live off the floor. Oh, sorry. So, big long drum intro. No like reverb, no heavy effects or anything. No horns.
Right. Oh.
Totally different feel.
It is.
And then when Kimberly jumps in here in a minute, this is just nothing fancy. It's just this is the band, unprocessed, in Jeannie's living room, Kimberly singing.
Nice and slow.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful, but I can see where the production adds something to it.
And then we flip to after we recorded the horns.
Uh-huh. People forget how. Oh, yeah, look at that.
And then you kick in the horns, and it adds much more richness as, you know, between that and then the mixing process, we were adding things like reverb and compression and all those techie things that people out there don't even understand.
I don't. I'm like, that sounds good. That's a pretty song she's singing.
Exactly.
Where can people find some of her music?
Again, iTunes, Spotify.
And the name is?
Pandora. Look for Jeannie Tanner, Words and Music. And this album features some of the best Chicago jazz singers: Rose Colella, Paul Marinaro, Kimberly Gordon, Tiffany Monique, Jeannie Tanners wrote all these songs. She's a staple. She's amazing, and she's crazy talented. And this year has been a blessing between working on Jen's record and working on Jeannie's record. It's just the immense talent has just been mind-boggling.
I love how much you're geeking out about all of it. It's a great celebration. We also were talking with Ryan Shea, who is the general manager at the House of Blues, Dr. Charles J. Turk, our pharmacist expert. And it's not because we need to be medicated during the show, but it's nice to have someone who knows a little something about everything. And he's also the president and CEO of Scientia CME, a continuing medical education company. So you can go to Scientia CME if you need to stay up to date on your certification and licensing in the medical profession. And we were talking about my new favorite spot, which is Hala Kahiki, the tiki bar over by there in River Grove. And I learned that they no longer serve some of their cocktails in festive and fun glasses because people were stealing them. So no one can have fun there anymore. And I wanted to know. And I will be honest, I'm not going to say I'm above it. I will from time to time take a ramekin here and there, and I found out that chefs really hate that because then they're short. And here's why I do it. It's because, and this is so stupid because I could just buy my own, but I'm like, oh, this would be perfect for crushing my son's pills in because he has to take a hypothyroid medication every morning. And instead of buying my own, I'm like, oh, this is the perfect thing. And then that's how I end up with it. So I don't do it anymore. I learned from a chef, Ryan, how much he hated that, so I don't do it anymore. I don't do it anymore.
Glasses were a thing for me.
Oh, so, you did? Okay, so. All right.
So I'm guilty as well.
See, there you go. We're all confessing.
Yeah. A cool glass is. I'm not above that.
There you go. So we're all kind of confessing. Bubblegum from Trevor Charles.
I took a Bubblicious. I'm sure that the grocery store manager over, over at Sunset Foods in Highland Park, I'm sure that they noticed that was missing and it threw their inventory off. And
see?
I'm sure that they lost money.
And the guilt riddles you all the time. Well, let's see. Like Jay, what riddles you with guilt? Do you feel guilty about what you did, Jay?
Well, I'm not really guilty about it.
before I start, I want to add about the Hala Kahiki. I was there back in like 82. The Thirsty Whale Bar used to be about two blocks south of there on Grand and River Road. So when I played in the band, we would set up all our stuff and then go over there and drink and then come back to the bar. But my story is I lived in San Francisco between 1985 and 1994, uh-huh. and we lived pretty close to 3rd Avenue where Candlestick Park was, and my friends would come over, they knew I was from Chicago, and we'd get a little bit primed at my house before we'd go over there. And so my friend sees this sign on the wall, like between the dugout and home plate, and it said WGN Sports on there. And he said, Jay, what would you give me if I go down there and take that sign?
This is how so many mistakes are made, is what would you give me? Go ahead.
Well, I told him, I ain't going to give you nothing. He goes, come on, how about $20? I go, $20? Fine. You go down there and take that sign and bring it back here. I'll give you $20. So he runs down there, and we could see him going down to the box seats, you know, the expensive seats, but everybody just, he goes down there, grabs this sign, rips it off the wall, sticks it under his shirt, and goes running up the stairs. Well, then he comes back to where we're sitting on the other side of the field, and he says, here, take this, quick. And the security was on to him, so they come down the stairs, pointing to him, that was him, we saw him on camera, blah, 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 blah. They take him up into the security area, and me and my other friend said, we got to get out of here. So we hightail it out of there. We end up catching up to this guy, you know, down where the bus was, and he goes, you got that thing? I said, yeah. He goes, well, where's my $20? I go, here's your $20. So we snagged that thing, and I still have this. It says WGN Sports on there, Channel 9, and he pulled it right off the wall, and I'm surprised it wasn't on the actual TV broadcast.
Well, there you go. Well, there's a memento. And see, sometimes people do some daring things, whether it's on bets or, hey, what would you give me? What would you do for $20? Apparently, you guys would steal a WGN Sports sign banner. How big is it? How big is it? He put it under his shirt.
It's probably about 6 feet by three, but he folded it up. Like, if I hold it out, I could probably, I'm not even sure if I could hold it from one arm to the other. It's pretty large. It's, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 feet. It was there to see on TV. So when the cameras were showing from center field, you can see that sign on the wall.
Wow. Well, I don't have the power to absolve you or your friends for this transgression, but I'm gonna have you do five. I'll never do that again. And buy a pair of tickets to the Patty Vasquez show at the Filament Theater for New Year's Eve. No, I'm just kidding, Jay. That's a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And shame on you, but also it's funny.
I was just an assistant.
You're just an assistant.
I was protecting my friend. I was running away with the evidence.
Exactly. You were. Yes. It was a collusion.
Aiding and abetting. I think
aiding and abetting might be. I don't have the, again. I don't have the power to absolve you. I can only listen.
I'll tell you what I do. I do, Bill. You purchase those tickets to Patty's show. And I'll absolve.
There you go. Have a great night, Jay, and happy New Year.
Night.
Okay.
You too.
Go Cubs. Bye-bye. Let's see what Bill has done in the past. Hey, Bill, how are you doing tonight?
Okay, Patty, how are you doing?
Very
well.
How
was your Indiana Society dinner?
What was that?
How was your Indiana Society dinner while I got to
It was wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I met Governor Holcomb. He was...
Oh, you did? I was the guy that called in and was talking to him about different things in the past that night.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, about Indiana? It was...
Yeah, Indiana Society thing, right?
It was very nice. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Well, anyways, my story is I attended school in Indiana, in fact, the Indiana School for the Blind. And one night, we didn't have a very good meal. It was on a weekend, and so two or three other guys, they decided that they were going to go to the storeroom and swipe some stuff and bring it back to the room to eat, probably around midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'm asleep, and there are two of them were my roommates. So they bring it back, and they open it. They were big cans, and they opened them. They couldn't figure out what they were. So they wake me up, and I'm half asleep. So I go over and I check the cans out, and I ran my hand down in it accidentally down into the can. I pull it back out and I taste it, and I said, "This is ketchup."
And no.
I say ketchup. Well, anyway, the next morning I woke up and neither one of them could see, and I could see some, and it looked like somebody bled all over the room. I had ketchup all over my sheets, looked like I bled all night and everything else. So.
Oh, man. See, this is what happens when people, you know, set out to deceive, I guess. Oh, it's too funny, Bill. Well, I hope you have a wonderful New Year's. We absolve you. I'm going to go ahead and say we absolve and your roommates. I think it's gonna be all right.
All righty.
I don't have that power, but I'm going to say it anyway. Thank you, Bill. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
All right. Glad you had a good time at the society dinner.
I really did. They were incredibly nice. So it was a wonderful memory. And they told me which comics I did better than. So that's it. I'll have that in my memory storage as well.
Okay.
That was nice to know. Thanks, Bill. Have a great evening.
Okay.
Talk to you later. Thank you. We're going to take Judy's call when we come back. I think this is going to be a big one. I think Judy's about to set off what people do when they're in hotels. But not, I mean, besides that. More after this on 720 WGN. Pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Riding sidecar is Dr. Charles J. Turk, our pharmacist expert, who is tonight our House of Blues food expert as well. How's the tasty food from House of Blues?
Oh, it's fan-freaking-tastic.
So good. The Voodoo Shrimp Man, Ryan Shea. Yeah.
Secret recipe.
Well, I wasn't going to ask. I just enjoy it.
That look like you were going to ask me what's in it.
It was
secret.
Well, you told me there were jalapenos in the cornbread, but that's not what makes it all, I mean, like, all the goodness.
She did have a subversive look on her face.
A little bit. A little bit of a, don't make me come over there. Right. And drag it out of you. Matt, have you ever wanted a recipe from a restaurant?
Oh, yes, desperately.
Really? I don't know. I kind of like think of my things at home as my things, and then I go out to enjoy the things that people make better than me.
I do, too, but I mean, I fashion myself an amateur chef, and so it's always, I like to learn from how other people are combining ingredients.
Do you ever taste something and go, I think I can make this at home?
Yes.
Okay, I've never done that.
Doesn't work, but yes, I've said that.
Joining us on the line is Judy, because we were talking about things that people take from restaurants. And, well, at least we started with restaurants, and now we've moved into dorm food. And Judy, when she travels, has done something. Judy, what did you do?
You know, thank goodness I don't go away often.
Okay.
Like the samples of the soaps. And sometimes a cleaning cart is in the room, in the hallway with more, and towels people take. So many towels. And then they complain, well, why did the prices go up?
Right. Well, have you taken towels? Judy?
I plead the fifth, can I?
Yes, you can plead the fifth. How long ago was it?
Not very.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not judging. I mean, I think that there's...
She's staying in a hotel right now.
She's trying to keep herself from taking the towels. Now, the samples of soap and shampoo, I think that that's kind of built into the cost. I think it has to be a lot of those companies want their products in the hotels. Like, this, you know, because you'll see, like, different brand names, you know, whether it's Paul Mitchell or, you know, different. I've had the brand names.
They're expecting you to use the shampoo anyway.
Yes.
So you can take that.
Recently, I have seen some hotels provide the leave the last person's shampoo and conditioner, like it's not all the way full. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's something I've seen recently. No, that's some of your maybe lower end. What's it, Judy? Now, do you have a favorite amongst the sample? Because I have to tell you, my favorite is they have some hotels that carry Aveda, so it's got the rosemary mint shampoo. That's my favorite sample.
I'm familiar.
Yes, the Aveda. I will call down on the desk and I'll be like, you know, I'm all out of soap. Could I have some more shampoo and soap and conditioner and lotion? I use it all in one go. I couldn't help myself.
Sometimes you call twice a day.
But you know what? This could be turned into a good thing because I know if you ask the manager for all of these things that places like Pads and Seniors, citizen organizations, you know, for like Meals and Wheels at different holiday times of the year, they just love and need these little samples.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and they'll give them to you somewhere it's going, and it does go there.
And, I mean, we've turned it into a service project when the kids were in Girl Scouts.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's better than designing paper toy rolls to put napkins in.
I see. Right. So, like, sort of your crafting projects.
You just add it in, and it's like they get a little gift.
There you go. Well, good to know, Judy. All right, thank you. Now, we absolve you. We're gonna go ahead and absolve you for taking the samples of shampoo and conditioner from the hotels. Have a great New Year, Judy. By the way, one of the things that apparently you can take from a hotel, I don't know if anyone is tempted to or has thought about it, are the Gideon Bibles. They actually really? Want you to take the, well, because they want it, they're spreading the word. But apparently there was Gideon's International sent a guy to speak at a church one Sunday, and this is from a writer who does the points guy. The speaker shared the Christian organization's little secret. The Gideons actually want you to steal the Bible from your hotel and don't get enough people, and can't get enough people to do it. So I'm on the air right now. And I don't speak for the Gideon's Bible folks, but according to this article, that they want you to steal their Bible, and not enough people are doing that. Have you thought about stealing the Bible?
I feel like I don't see a Bible in a hotel room these days.
I do all the time.
You do?
And that's why I don't keep the things that I also travel with. I don't keep it in that drawer. That would be weird.
Yeah.
So.
That would be...
That's a whole separate conversation.
That would be
that's
a
whole different what's in the drawer. So I
and that you travel with it.
It was not just one. You never know what kind of mood you're going to be in. So here's, I've never been to a hotel that has bathroom duckies. Has anybody ever been to a hotel that has bathroom duckies?
No.
Apparently you can. Slippers. I've never been to a hotel that has slippers. I was just trying to see what things that are okay to take. But apparently they don't want you to take their towels. No. But when you ask for extra, I always wonder, like, do they keep track of how many you have?
But would you want to take their towels? Have you ever
no, because they're white. They're white, and I wear makeup, and I'm going to get, right? Because, Sarah, if I'm going to dry my face, I'm going to get mascara all over it, so I don't want my towel.
I used to take the hand towels for gigs. So, if I was staying in a hotel and playing with my band, I would take the white hand towels I would use.
Oh, there you go.
On stage.
To dab yourself. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Speaking of the stage, this New Year's Eve, they're celebrating at the House of Blues with Flogging Molly in the Music Hall. And they're also going to have the Tossers and Flatfoot 56, which is, they're all Celtic punk bands from Chicago.
Yeah.
And, in the restaurant for the New Year's Eve dinner, they've got Mike Wheeler, Corey Dennison. And, what's the LBC Loud and Acoustic? Is that another room?
Yeah. Yeah, that's Lucky Boys Confusion is playing in the restaurant. So we'll do dinner in the restaurant until about 10 o'clock, and then that will turn into a venue. And Lucky Boys Confusion been around for a long time. I've played House of Blues probably more than any other band. They play a lot around town, and that's going to be... They played New Year's a few years ago with us, and it was a great show, so this will be fun.
That's a blast. So if anyone is thinking about coming into Chicago, by the way, we have enough listeners who maybe want to make their New Year's Eve weekend in Chicago, stay downtown, you know, enjoy the Magnificent Mile, go to the House of Blues for New Year's Eve. Got great music and great food, including their voodoo shrimp, the best cornbread. These pickles are great. I feel so badly. We can't, they're not going to make it for Michael next week. We'll have to have another night when you come in and bring him some pickles.
I'll bring him some pickles.
Yeah, bring him some pickles. Now I know who to call, because there have been times when there was National Pickle Day and I did not think to call Ryan Shea.
Yeah, now you know.
From the House of Blues. So next time I will definitely do that. Coming up after the news, I want to talk about some movies that are out. You guys are welcome to hang out somewhere. We'll play some more music that Matt Fetterman has produced. I got Michael on the brain, because it is Michael Heideman's birthday, if he happens to be listening. I hope he's not, because he's in Vegas, and how sad would it be?
He's definitely not.
If he's listening, he's like walking around the casinos with his Bluetooth in, listening to the show.
He's
going to
call in and tell us what he just stole from a restaurant.
You know, Michael is the most genuinely authentic person I know. I can't imagine Michael stealing anything.
I think you're right.
I just can't see him doing it. So hopefully, you know, we should check in with Michael and see if he's lost or won money. I know he's going to see some great bands play in Vegas. Again, it is Michael's birthday. Yeah, I think his Facebook page is public, so if you want to go wish him a happy birthday, do so, because he's hanging out with his brother in Vegas. It is time now for our news. After the news, we're going to talk about a movie that Charles and I had the pleasure of watching last night, I, Tanya, and I believe we're going to have a guest in studio who has hung out with Tanya Harding and has been a competitive skater himself. So we will talk to our guest comedian, Paul Farvar, who will be joining me for New Year's Eve at the Filament Theater. So go to Eventbrite for tickets. And I want to thank Joseph for purchasing tickets during the show. Thank you. I'm so glad you're hanging out for the adult performance at 10 o'clock. And again, there is a family-friendly show at 7:30. We've got games for the kids. There's going to be music and comedy, and we'd love to have everyone hang out with us. Again, first show, kids are kids 12 and under are free, and then adults are $22 each. And then for the second show, it's a longer show, and all the prices are available on Eventbrite. Search for Patty Vasquez New Year's Eve Show. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Comedian Paul Farivar is going to join us in a few moments. He'll be joining me for the New Year's Eve celebration in Portage Park at the Filament Theater. You can go to eventbrite.com for more information and tickets. Joining me in studio is Dr. Charles J. Turk, our pharmacist expert and the president and CEO of Scientia CME, a continuing medical organization where you can keep your accreditation and licensing up to date if you're in the medical profession. I did it once right, Charles. We should just play that on a loop.
Absolutely.
Every time I have to mention it. But I want to make sure that people know about that, because we do have a lot of nurses and doctors who listen to the show. And, you know, they do have to keep their certain licensing up to date and continue their medical information.
Absolutely.
A lot of things change.
They need to stay in practice. They need to stay licensed.
Exactly. And now, actually, Ryan, there's something that's changing this year for bartenders and, I think for bartenders and server, no, for restaurants, training for food allergies. Do you know about this?
Yep. So, yeah, it takes effect in January 1st, and then you don't get in trouble until July.
Okay, so you've got 6 months
to
comply.
So
people can, I guess, rely on the fact that a restaurant, when they say that they're allergy-free, if they have a food item on the menu that says it's nut-free, what that entails.
Yeah, and that's good. You know, my wife is allergic to a bunch of food, and it's a pain going out and trying to figure that out.
And so, you want to know that you'll be safe. You don't. Yeah. I mean, it's some serious stuff that can happen medically. We have in studio with us as well musician and music producer Matt Fetterman, and he's sharing some more music with us from, I'm sorry, I didn't write down the name.
Mark Lobbs.
From Mark Lobbs, here is some music that Matt has produced. Mark Lobbs, and producer Matt Fetterman has been showing us examples of what a musician brings to the table and what they envision, and Matt collaborates with them in order to show them what's possible. So do you have the original as well?
Yeah, that's a great example of Mark came to me with that song, had two chords in the verse, and I kind of said, well, it's getting a little repetitive, so let's try, an A minor 7 here, and let's try 7 chord there, and let's speed it up a little bit. And this is a unique song with Mark and a handful of other clients, unlike the other examples. Other than the acoustic guitar, I wrote and played everything.
Okay.
The drums, the piano, the bass. He literally came in, and this is kind of what he came in with. So we made a little demo. Drum machine kind of going and over. And then we turn it into this.
Oh, it's so cool how you just showed us the difference in that.
Yeah.
It's
from that.
Right. It is a depth, the textures, the layering of it is distinct.
You know, adding vocal harmonies, adding guitar licks.
Yeah. So now when a performer like Mark, it plays live then, I mean, there's going to be a difference, obviously, in the way the studio recording is going to sound.
Sure.
But do musicians often, you know, bring in, do they change the way they do live performances based on what you've worked on them with?
Some do, some don't. Okay. I've worked with some people that they come in and they really embrace the changes to the song and incorporate that into their live show going forward. I also have some that love the recordings, but just can't bring themselves to do it live. They can't get past they're wanting to just do it the way they wrote it.
Right.
And again, I'm not changing anything without their input. It's not like, here's my song, go run with it and do whatever you want.
Right.
I'm writing parts and arranging things for them, in their own style. If that makes sense.
You know, definitely. I think that the difference is incredible. I loved hearing that, the difference between the original.
Because I think a lot of people don't know what goes into it.
And it's Mark Lobbs. You can find his music as well.
Yep, he's on iTunes and Spotify, and he's got a couple singles out. And he has another one coming out this week, I think. It was either last week or this week. So
we are sharing some music that Matt Fetterman has had some, you know, really a strong presence in the process of developing for local musicians. Again, that's Mark Lobbs, and find him online. And one of my favorite Chicago bands is going to be performing for New Year's Eve at the House of Blues. Ryan Shay's in the studio with us. He's the general manager. And the Flogging Molly, they played in studio with us, by the way, which was crazy. They are so loud.
Yeah.
They were so good. They're actually one of the few bands that I've had enough time, I've been able to go see. I had never been to the Metro before. So that was I know. I've never been to the Metro in my entire life. I've never been there. So I went there for the Flogging Molly. Flogging Molly's. Yeah. It was very, very good. So Flogging Molly is going to be playing in the Music Hall on New Year's Eve. Opening for them will be the Tossers and Flatfoot 56. In studio, Paul Farvar has entered the studio. And I have to say, you can always tell when someone's kind of miserable in cold weather. Because he had this, like, it was kind of like he had that tight shoulder walk.
Chicago hunch.
Yeah. This is very cold. This hurts my lungs. It feels Absolutely. Personal. It feels like I'm being attacked.
It's terrible.
It's really bad. But you know what I realized tonight on my way here, because I keep forgetting? I have heated seats. I have a 2010 Toyota Prius that I bought last year, and I never in my entire life have had heated seats. Do you have heated seats, Charles?
Yes, I do.
It is such a bonus.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I have heated seats, and I wouldn't trade them for the world.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how you ever go back from that. I'll only buy used cars if it's how I can afford heated seats.
Look, I only had two choices when and it wasn't heated seats or not, but I mean, no, it was two choices of packages when I got my most recent car.
Uh-huh.
And heated seats came with the luxury package. Actually, it may have come with the smaller, with the lower scale car as well, but the big difference actually for me was the Bose speakers.
Oh yeah, Bose speakers. Yeah. And that's gonna sound so good.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. I mean, I had it with my last car, and I'm not going back. So
ever.
Actually, heated seats probably would have made a big difference.
Patty, do you have high or low setting on your heated seats, or is this just on?
This is on or off.
Oh goodness!
I have 1 through 10.
What?
I can't get it higher than 2, or my butt is on fire.
Scalding. Well, my husband was saying that he doesn't use the heated seats because he's like, why do I want my butt to be warm when the rest of me is cold? But I mean, it makes a difference when your bottom is warmed. I think it's significant. Paul, we're talking about heated seats. I'm guessing in your car you have heated seats.
You would think that I did.
You don't?
I bought my car in a rush because I got into a car accident, and I had like a couple days to get a new car, and it's a fancier car than what I'm used to. So, because I got more money.
You look really cold still. Are you okay?
So cold outside.
You want a hug?
Yeah, I know. I feel like
I feel like I will. But anyway, I bought the car, and then afterwards, I was like, wait, where are the heated seats? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's why.
It was cheaper?
It was cheaper, yeah.
Oh, don't do that again.
I didn't have heated seats, and then my sunroof isn't a full sunroof. It's like a tilter upper.
Oh, it's just
that's
like
a moonroof.
Yeah.
It just
so I was like, what
Sorry,
the heck?
I'm not
so,
laughing.
No, it was. It's shame on me for like trying to save some money and go to Glenview to get a cheaper car, which is why you never go to the suburbs, right, Matt?
Yeah.
That's from the Singles Only podcast.
You never have trouble in the suburbs, do you, Paul?
Yeah. I stay away from them as much as possible. Yeah. Every time I go, something bad happens.
The suburbs, man.
Plenty of parking.
Cassara would say, exactly. Thank you. That's my joke for you. I love the suburbs. You can park anywhere.
Right.
I love the suburbs.
Which suburb are you from?
I'm from Crete.
You from Crete?
Yeah, out south, like in the middle of nowhere. No one knows where I'm at. It's okay, though.
That's all right. It's good to have all the parking.
Yes, all the parking, cheaper, cheap gas.
It's nice. All the good things. Actually, there's two stories I want to tell you guys about with this cold weather. I think that people are a little bit distracted. If you're not driving on ice, I think people are just kind of like they have that tight-shoulderedness about them. And my family went out tonight. All my in-laws wanted to meet up in Northbrook at the Pinstripe Bowling Alley. And apparently one of my husband's aunts was going to meet at my sister-in-law's house. And she left her car. She parked her car across from my sister-in-law Megan's driveway. And Megan didn't expect it and backed out. So, yes, both cars. No. I'm not laughing. It's not funny. It's not funny, Ryan. It's not funny.
Everyone's safe, so
Everyone's fine. But imagine, like, you hit something and you have the sensation of, oh, no, I've damaged my car. Oh, no, I've also damaged my aunt's car.
Like, I'm sorry, but who's not looking?
I know. That was my question,
what?
Too. Well, and I asked Steve, I mean, it would have made sense if, like, his aunt had accidentally blocked the driveway. Although then you would be, like, you'd be walking in the car and be like, hey, you need to move your car. But no, the car, that's my question, as the car was on the other side of the street. I said, how much room does your sister need to get out of the driveway?
And
how wide? Yeah.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah. No, no.
But you can't assume that there's just, oh, well, there usually isn't a car there, so I'm just going to assume there's nothing.
I'm glad there was no one walking their dog there.
Oh, my. Yeah, right?
Right?
She just plow into things, not even thinking about it.
I have a confession. That same thing happened to me.
You backed out of your driveway and there was a car?
My gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a car. I backed out of a friend's driveway.
It's usually not there.
And no, I backed out of a friend's driveway. Mind you, I was 16 years old and it was summertime. I was just a bad driver.
Okay. Well, this is a grown woman with two kids. Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm just saying. It happens.
It happens. Look at Matt trying to get absolution for when he was 16 years old.
Everyone else got absolution. I'd love some absolution.
Everyone else gets absolution.
25 years ago.
Matt wants that too. Yeah. So then my other sister-in-law, let's call her Catherine, she rolled into town with a beautiful fur coat, which, by the way, Declan really enjoyed at the bowling alley. We had these couches at Pinstripe, and Declan, like, flopped himself on her luxurious fur coat and was, like, rolling around on it. My son has developmental delays and was just giggling on this fur coat, but kind of like, oh, this is like a dog who doesn't struggle. Rolling around on it was cracking me up. But yesterday, let's say Catherine, we were all at a party, and Catherine wanted to go shopping. Michigan Avenue, she wanted to go to the Ralph Lauren store. And you know, I've told you about my sister-in-law, Catherine. Her mm-hmm. husband is on the legal team for members of the White House.
Yes.
So they are, you know, they're connected. And you think of them as very successful people. She's also a high-powered
attorney. This White House.
This White
Make
House.
Sure it's
right
clear.
Now,
Not
yeah.
like normal
it's going to get
house.
Interesting. Like, it's always, yeah. like, we've been, like, on vacations before, and, like, her husband's getting calls from, because he's on, like, Karl Rove's legal team, and he's worked for George W. Bush. It's always, like, something, like, you know, high
this
stakes.
This one's a little. Different.
This is going to be interesting. Yeah, he was. It was weird because he was like in a really good mood, which freaked me out. Because like he's never said hello to Declan in Declan's entire life.
Oh, no.
And we were like sitting on the back porch, and he said hi to Declan, and I was like, "What's going on? What do you know that we don't know?" Anyway, so my sister-in-law Catherine had this. I guess she thought just the fur coat was enough for the winter in Chicago. So they were about to leave the condo that we were staying at, having this party right here on Michigan Avenue on Lakeshore Drive. And she's wearing heels and pantyhose. Like, she's wearing a skirt with pantyhose and was going to go out walking on Michigan Avenue. And everyone's like, you can't go out like that. So she walked out the front door and realized how cold it was. And she goes, well, I have tights in my car. I'll just go get them. And proceeded. And now, Casera and Esmeralda, when you've had to change clothes and you have something in your car you can change into, have you changed in your car?
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. As
well, are you going, like, she was in a condo. And then
it was a condo parking lot. Right. This is a good point.
Went to the car.
She went to the car to get the tights, but did not change in the car. Do you want to know where she changed?
Why wouldn't you just go back into the condo?
That's a good question, too. There was an elevator.
Well, I mean, if you're running late, you just got
to... I don't think she's running late. Was Ralph Lauren about to close?
They were going walking to the Ralph Lauren store. She changed in the lobby. She
what?
Had...
what?
In the lobby of this fancy, highfalutin condo.
Like built. Graduate style? Like.
Bold.
Did she keep the fur coat on?
She did. She kept the fur coat on and had her nieces stand around her to create a body, wall of bodies, I
okay,
guess, to shield
I'm
her.
Okay, I'm sorry. Always the rich people. Always the rich people that do things like this.
Yeah, that's like ordinary, like... No.
Yeah,
like
ordinary regular people.
Yeah, like my friends do it at like concerts and like musicals and stuff because we're forced to, but
Yep.
I can't see myself, like, walking into Walmart just changing my pants real quick. Yep. I'm definitely getting kicked out by the greeter, so, you know.
And I saw her roll out of the parking lot at the bowling alley, and she had an SUV. Right?
So there. Yeah.
Oh, the SUV.
And
totally
she was in a building that I'm sure had rooms. She changed out of her pantyhose and into a pair of tights in the lobby of this fancy condominium.
I bet you that condominium probably had other rooms where you could just go in real quick.
Yeah,
I bet
they have cameras.
They definitely have cameras.
Oh, there's
no, there was a security guard, and we came down while she was in the midst of this, and we were walking up, and we were like, hey, because they were like standing around her, and we're like, hey, what's going on? And my brother-in-law came around and realized what she was doing and started taking a video of her. And so this is all going to be fun stuff. But the security guard came out from behind the desk and was like, hey, can I help you guys? And we're like, no, nothing. It's fine. My sister-in-law, super classy.
She sees it all the time.
Super classy. And her husband works for the White House. More after this on 720 at WGN. Go figure.
The club isn't the best place to find the lovers, so the bar is where I go.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is musician and music producer Matt Fetterman, general manager of House of Blues, Ryan Shea. We have comedian Paul Farvar, who will be joining me for the New Year's Eve event at the Filament Theater in Portage Park. And you can go to eventbrite.com for tickets. We have a family show at 7:30. Paul, I added a game. We're going to do a version of Make Me Laugh. We're going to get like two or three kids. We have a panel of three kids, and you and I go back and forth with like dumb jokes, like puns, and what did the horse say?
Without laughing.
And if they don't know, you and I don't. It's not up to us. We have to see if I can make them laugh or if you can make them laugh.
Okay.
So you pick your own jokes, and I'll pick my own jokes, like all stock jokes.
Can you say fart to them?
Yes.
All right, then
you can say fart.
I know what I'm going to
do. Yes, but keep it clean. I think fart is right. You have a daughter. Fart jokes are within the
Okay. Oh yeah.
Kids love the fart.
They're
jokes.
They're encouraged.
What's a staple in our home?
What's a clean fart?
I don't know. Is this a setup for a joke?
No. No, it's not. I'm honestly asking.
See,
you're talking about clean farts.
And that counts. Like, if we did that, like, that would count. Like, what's a clean... Like, if we were asking about the rules.
I'm asking...
So we don't have to make each other laugh.
No.
We just have to make the panel.
I don't know what a clean fart is.
Well, maybe... I know. Maybe I should show up as the straight man.
Well, clean... I think that's encouraged. That's Dr. Charles J. Turk joining us in the studio as well. Charles and I had the pleasure of watching the movie, of seeing the movie, I, Tonya, last night. I want to know, we'll have to talk again after you see it,
mm-hmm.
because you, in your past, in your youth, were a competitive skater.
Competitive is very loosely used, but yes,
but
there was competition.
But you tried very hard.
I did compete, I guess, but I stopped abruptly.
What happened? What caused you to stop?
Well, I looked around, and when I was around, I think I was 12. It's kind of like I've blocked that memory out of my head.
But
I looked around, and all my guy friends had switched to ice hockey, and I was the only guy in the group that we were, you know, competing with that was a male. And, like, my mom wouldn't let me play ice hockey.
Right.
So I would lock myself before practices. I would lock myself in the bathroom so I'd miss it. And then my parents eventually said I didn't have to go anymore.
Wow.
But I liked it.
Did they enroll you in figure skating?
Yeah, they did.
Okay. But did you at some point start to enjoy it?
I think I did. I remember once when I did the single axel, I was like, oh, yeah, this is fun. But then I think I got, like, I was really, after I was picked on, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
How old were you when you started?
I think I was 12.
Okay, so you had like a year
11.
Of skating.
No, I started. I mean, I did it for a few years.
Okay.
But then,
okay.
Right, but then when we then moved to a different location, and then I started roller skating, and that was fun.
And that was it. Yes.
Lombard roller.
It's funny. I had a similar experience. World information here. I was actually a cheerleader in high school.
Okay.
Ah.
And I went from football to cheerleading, and all the football players razzed the heck out of me.
Sure.
Yeah.
And where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Lincolnshire. I went to Stevenson.
Okay. Oh, it's a great high school. Yeah.
Very good high school. And they really changed their tune pretty quickly. I mean, I had some relatively thick skin for a high school guy. And when they realized, wow, Fetterman's hanging out with all the cute cheerleaders. what are we doing here?
That was the attitude of...
Changed it a lot.
There was only one male cheerleader at my high school when I was going there, and that was Jose Salinas, who was one of my very good friends. He was also a gymnast. He was a wrestler. There was no doubting his masculinity. And then the guys also realizing, oh, wait, he's hanging out with all the cute girls. Yeah. The same
but
thing.
This is... When I was doing it, I was of the age where, like, girls were evil. Like,
oh, you,
you
were
like,
quite... That's what I was asking.
So you... Like, I was like, they're like, oh, you have cooties too, because I was with them. So then I lost all my guy friends. But then it didn't matter because then we moved. And I was like, ah.
Was there anything, Ryan, that you ever did that you felt like pressured out of doing because, you know, culturally it wasn't what everybody else wanted?
Culturally.
I guess. Well, I mean.
You know, I would get teased, like singing. You know, like I was a good singer, like in grade school or whatever. And so my guy friends would think I was not cool.
Exactly. There's stuff like that. I was a jock. I was a softball player, and they would always call me a dyke and make fun of me. And I was on an all-boys team, and the boys would take off their mitts and throw with their catching hands and say, look, we throw like Patty. Aww. Like throwing like, I'm fine. I'm totally fine, Matt. Don't worry about me. How about you, Charles?
Yeah, Patty, you know, I had my, I was sort of outed as a transsexual my first day of kindergarten because I showed up wearing nail polish on my fingernails and toenails because I'd been painted by a cousin by my request, admittedly, because I thought that nail polish on her looked beautiful.
Yeah.
So I requested that I, you know, have my nails painted, and so, you know, I showed up with sandals, and, you know, I mean, I should have figured out, and I did figure out that something was wrong when I saw, I was being whispered about in my,
Can you imagine five-year-olds whispering about toenails
but
and fingernails?
All hell broke loose at recess time, because that's when the whole school saw me, and they chased me, and they called me names all recess long. So I got the full experience.
There you go. Charles, also fine. Also, we're both fine. We're fine. We're all fine, right?
Yeah, we're not angry.
If you say it enough times, Paul, it takes.
I'm still thinking about some other stuff, too, now.
All right, let's talk about it when we come back. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Was there something you enjoyed doing as a kid that people made fun of you and it made you stop? And maybe it scarred you, because that can hurt. That can last a long time. And then we're going to talk about the film I, Tanya, and this incredible story about Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan that is back in the news again because of the movie. And there's actually a special coming up in January that we'll talk about. And comedian Paul Farvar was a skater, and he's got some insight. More to this. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. In 1991, Tanya Harding won her first national title, and she became the first woman to ever complete a triple axel in the world, the first woman in the entire world. And by 1994, she was banned from skating for the rest of her life. And there's a movie out now about her entire career, about her childhood, her relationship with her mother, meeting her husband, and her bodyguard, who they eventually conspired to first send death threats to Nancy Kerrigan and then hired someone to try to take her out of the running for the Olympic team. And many of you probably remember this. When I was watching the movie, it was so weird, Paul, because I was watching this movie. Comedian Paul Farvar joins us in the studio, and he has, in his childhood, skated competitively.
Competitively was loosely used,
But you also, I'm guessing you watched a lot of ice skating.
I did a little bit when I was younger, and then I did in 94, I mean, during that whole time.
I think everybody did. I mean, it had to do wonders for the ratings, because that was the year that they had decided to switch the schedule. They were going to alternate. Because Summer and Winter Olympics used to be in the same year.
Yeah.
And after the Olympics in 92, they moved it. So we went to Lillehammer in 94.
Yeah.
And so the Winter Olympics were going to start sooner. And then 4 years later, the 2 years later, they would do summer.
It would be exclusive winter. And like the ratings were going to be high no matter what.
Right.
But then there was this whole, even before the incident, there was a lot of talk of Kerrigan and Tanya Harding.
This
it was already building, even if you weren't in sports.
It was so crazy.
Or, I mean, in ice skating.
Well, because it was kind of like wrestling. Because it was like the face was Nancy Kerrigan,
mm-hmm.
and the bad guy was Tanya Harding.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, you had, and they were so completely different. Charles and I saw the movie last night, and I don't know if Ryan Shea has any interest in the story about it or remembers any of it. But I loved figure skating when I was a kid. Did you watch any of this drama unfold when this happened in 1994?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say I was in prison.
No, I remember because I actually was doing like TV news at my college.
Okay.
And I couldn't pronounce Gululi.
Yeah, Jeff Gululi.
And it was on the teleprompter, and I kept calling it like Gulili.
Letterman was doing huge bits about his name like every night, I know.
Wow. Yeah, it was Gululi. Yes, Jeff Gululi. Mm. And the movie does, I think, an interesting job. I don't know how much is accurate. I mean, a lot of it has to be fictionalized. They're going to imagine a lot of it. But, you know, I was watching an interview with Tonya Harding's coach, who had coached her from when she was a little girl, because she started skating when she was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And she said that she would walk in the bathroom and see her mother beating her with a hairbrush. She would see Tonya's mom
wow.
swearing at her, drinking at the rink. And from the depiction of the movie, it's some of it's hard to watch, but it's filmed in such a way that I was all in. I really, really enjoyed this movie. I love the performances. I love the storytelling. But the way it's shot is so good. I mean, it keeps the pace going. It it pulls you in, and whether it's from the skating to the, you know, they live in a very small house, so the camera's got to come around these corners in the, like, the hallways. So I don't know if is it a trailer?
Honestly, what, as far as the house?
The house, yeah. It's a very small house.
The one that she shares with her husband?
Yeah.
I don't know that I would call it that, but I mean, I'm not sure what to call it exactly. But I mean, as far as you know, just
see this so bad.
It's
yeah,
so
just
good.
Just to comment on what you were talking about, though. You know, I mean, I don't remember camera work really that fluid since you know, and being as impressed with it. I mean, it isn't quite the same scale of a movie exactly. But so it's a little apples and oranges. But as far as the camera work is concerned, it reminds me very much of Boogie Nights, actually.
Oh yeah, I can see that. It reminded me a little bit of Casino too. Sort of like
one follow camera. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember, you know, it just, you know, going out of the house and then down the road, you know, backward. Yeah. I mean, so.
I want to see it.
I'm sorry, yeah. Paul. I'm sorry. So yes.
I was supposed to go see it before I left to go out of town, but it was only planned like early slot time. So we saw that Disaster Artist, which is also really good. But I
saw that
to see
too.
Tonya
that
Harden.
Was very. Yeah, we saw that movie.
You
as
think
well.
Tonya's better?
I think Tonya's better.
Oh, wow.
I do too. And I mean, and
you've seen both?
Yeah. I mean,
did you like Star Wars though?
I need a
control because, like, you know,
well,
you guys like weird movies.
Okay. Honestly, I mean, yes and no.
Okay.
I mean, so I mean,
that's a fair. Okay,
yeah,
I trust
I mean,
you.
No, I mean, I enjoyed the experience. I have big issues with Star Wars. You know, I have big problems with the movie.
Well,
so the quick answer is, I enjoyed parts of it. I enjoyed parts of the experience. You know, but I have big issues with it.
Okay, fair point. Then you know, that's a control because Patty and I don't seem to agree on any movies. But
what movie?
Well, there's like a bunch you said that, and you get mad that I haven't seen, and then I've seen like stuff that you
well,
haven't
seen.
Seeing
something or not seeing something and disagreeing.
You haven't
on
seen
movies
Cool Hand Luke yet.
Yeah, but
which
what,
is the greatest
but,
movie of all
but
time.
But movies that we've both seen is different. You're saying,
but you love Star Wars.
Yes,
the trilogy or whatever it is now.
The 4, 5, and 6.
I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah, but have you seen any Star Wars movies?
I saw the Return of the Jedi one, and then
that's
the original
not a good place
one.
To start.
No, I mean, I saw them when I was a kid, but and then I saw the one 2 years ago, and then I saw this one.
And what did you
I
think
liked.
Of the one 2 years ago?
It was okay. This one was better. I like this one. Most Star Wars fans don't like this one.
Okay.
And I was like, this is cool.
I would,
like, I got it.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a very poor comparator to this movie. So this, yeah, I mean,
I like that Jar Jar Binks was in it. I saw that one.
In I, Tanya?
Like
what
one.
Are you talking about?
No, okay. Was she in it? Was he in it? I'm not gonna see it then. The voice guy was in it.
No, Jar Jar Binks is terrible. It's a terrible character. One of the worst.
Okay, so Tonya Harding is a good movie.
I think Tonya.
It's already getting great. They're
Buzz.
Saying
great. Yeah.
What's her name?
Allison
Janney is going to get some awards, so, which I love her.
She might be nominated. I think Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird is going to give her a run for her money.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, there were, you know, what I keep saying is that there are some really strong, you know, female lead performances this year. So,
it's going to be a tough battle.
We've got this movie, you know, we've got, Lady Bird. You know, I saw The Shape of Water recently, which Michael Shannon is in.
Michael
Sally Hawkins.
Shannon is the voice of Jar Jar Binks?
No, but you did drop his name just recently.
I did?
So, yeah, you did.
Did I consider name dropping to mention it in passing?
You mentioned him and Jar Jar Binks. Okay. But the two have nothing to do with one another, nor have they not been in the same movie. But Michael Shannon, yeah, very brooding guy. He was in the Shape of Water, and but Sally Hawkins gives a fantastic performance as a mute woman who falls in, who forms a relationship with a with an aquatic creature of sorts.
Aquaman.
He looks more like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Isn't it like he's a lab creature? Like
he's held in a lab. Okay. He was captured from South America. He looks like the creature from the Black Lagoon. He's not exactly like a monster in the same way.
Interesting.
But she forms a relationship with him because they're both, fairly isolated beings. And they form sort of an understanding with one another.
Until the Olympics in 94.
Exactly. Let's talk about that when we come back, because I want to talk about your personal experience with the topic
the
of
alleged
the
Tanya
movie,
Harding.
When you met Tanya Harding, and I want to talk about this moment in sort of, really pop culture history. It was just so crazy what happened. And again, the images of Nancy Kerrigan, people remember that. Why?
I think, if you were born in 84 before, you remember it.
Oh, absolutely.
I
think that's fair to say. And if you were a young child who loved watching figure skating, even younger maybe.
But your parents probably wouldn't let you like explain all the stuff if you're like five.
They hired this hitman to
like
whack
how do you explain the
Lully? How do you explain
but
the man
in
like
Trump's
a
America anything song?
More after this on 720 WGN. What do you remember about the Lillehammer Olympics? Well, I mean, what else happened? There was nothing else but Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. 312-981-7200 if you want to share your memories, because the movie is really fun and I think you'll enjoy it. Again, give us a call, 312-981-7200. The movie I, Tanya is in theaters in the Chicagoland area in wide release coming up in the next few weeks. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Producing our show this evening is Cassara. She's filling in for Michael Heidemann, who is on vacation in Vegas for his birthday with his brother. And that's like the perfect way to celebrate your birthday, don't you think, Cassara?
I went to Vegas for my 21st birthday to celebrate, so yes.
You did it right. What'd you end up doing? Did you gamble?
I gambled. I ended up being up like $15 and then blew it all again everyone else does. Checked out some different party scenes and whatnot. Definitely stayed by the pool a lot.
Nice.
Yeah, then I went to the Wax Museum, which was like the highlight of the entire trip. It was so cool to look at.
I love that. And by the way, what a great week for Michael to be in Vegas, the coldest week.
Seriously.
Tom Skilling said this is the longest cold snap we've had in over a year since last December.
So. I needed to end like yesterday.
I know. But look, we were spoiled. There were some 50-degree days here in December. It wasn't like 64 degrees. The beginning of December.
It was super nice.
It was very nice.
Well,
the
I'm
Lord
spoiled,
giveth
so
and the Lord
back.
Taketh. I know, you need it back. It is, it's definitely wintertime. And our friend Michelle Lamour posted that her anger is directly related to the temperatures. So that's, I think that's true for everybody. Because in the heat, like if it's too hot, like you're too tired to get mad.
Yeah.
You know, but when it's cold, you're like, oh, I hate this. Yeah. Right? It makes all the muscles just make your throat
that's
clench
me
up.
Every time I sit in my car that has leather seats, it's freezing.
You gotta put like a fuzzy blanket on your seat.
I don't even think that's gonna help.
Bring it from the house, warm, right? Like throw it in the dryer,
right?
And then take it out with you. Take it out of the dryer right away and go to the car and put it on the seat.
And that'll help when you're changing in the car too.
But you know what? I honestly have to change in my car probably like once a week because like I'll leave here and then go DJ an event. Like, I don't want to wear what I wore here when I'm DJing, so I'm forced to just switch the shirt or the pants and definitely the shoes every single time. So
I change my car all the time, and I was mentioning, Cassara and I mentioned this, because you've never changed in your car, you were saying?
No, I haven't.
I've taken my... See, the thing is, you can take your bra off at a red light. And that's something that, and without anyone seeing anything else, except for you reaching into your shirt.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
And pulling
they have
it out,
no idea what's going on.
Pulling it out of the sleeve. No one sees anything.
Boom. That's like the best part of the day anyways. Like, that's just such a relief at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I was trying to think if I ever took anybody's bra at a red light.
At a red light.
I may have.
Very nice.
It's a skill. It's a skill
set. It is. Especially with one hand. Impressive.
Exactly.
Very
this is what
impressive.
I'm saying. Although front hooks are probably easier for that.
Way easier. Yeah.
Just like that little hook. Okay. Anyway. So there. Oh, by the way, I do want to mention, because we were talking about getting warming up your car, you know, maybe putting a fleece blanket on your seat from the dryer. My husband was telling me when he was a kid, his room was so cold, he would use a blow dryer on the sheets, like under the blankets, to warm up the bed before it got in. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty smart. This is what I'm saying.
Thank you for these tips.
Water bottle.
Oh, hot water bottles.
Yeah, at the bottom of your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
See, but I like my room cold. Like, my window's open in my room right now. It's cracked, and the fan's going.
Yeah, but then you get piles of blankets.
Yeah, how many blankets?
That's me.
Yeah, that's the best.
I have the sheet, the comforter, and then this really big fleece Marilyn Monroe blanket that I got for Christmas last year.
May I also encourage you to check out electric blankets? My husband calls it the dead seal on my side of the bed because it's a very fluffy warm blanket. He reached over, he didn't know I had one. He goes, "Is that did you kill a baby seal? What is this?" And I'm going to put that on a, you know, those plugins now they have that you can control from your phone with like a Wi-Fi setting. I'm going to turn my electric blanket on from the living room now so that my bed is heated before I go in there.
That's smart.
Our room is very, very cold. I have to say, Charles, we saw iTanya last night, and we grabbed something to eat at the Big Top restaurant, the diner in my neighborhood, which I love. We were still talking about the movie. And sometimes I see a movie and it just gets me so excited. I was watching footage of Tanya Harding from her championship skating event in 1991. I watched some interviews with her. I was telling Charles and our friend Heather that I liked, as a kid when all this was happening, I liked Tanya Harding better than Nancy Kerrigan. There was something about her that felt like someone from my neighborhood, you know, a girl who wasn't going to really fit anybody else's standards of gracefulness. You know, she was kind of this really tough athlete. You know, when you watch her skate, she would land hard. There was no graceful, like, artistry.
She was athletic.
She was very athletic. Do you remember Suri Bonaly?
Mm-mm.
The black woman who from France who would do backflips in competitions?
No.
And it was the same thing where they didn't like her because she didn't fit the mold of these...
traditional, graceful, soft, and gentle.
And also with, like, the, you know, the very pretty dresses because Tanya made her own. You know?
And she had her own music, too, right?
Yeah, she would use, like, heavy metal or,
Yeah, Guns N' Roses.
It was funny because I was trying to figure out what music she used. Yeah, Guns N' Roses. She did.
Yeah.
And her music at Lillehammer was the soundtrack to Jurassic Park. I was sitting there, I'm like, what movie is this from? And it was the soundtrack to Jurassic Park.
That's great.
Yeah. But you had an encounter with Tanya Harding when you were very young.
I was on spring break in college, and we were at South Padre. And very intoxicated. There was a after party, and there was security. And back then, when I would be heavily intoxicated, I would just talk my way into things and just talk to them. And I think I said something funny at the door.
Just knew there was a party going on.
There was something going on, but it was like super late. And I was a late night person. It was in our hotel, which was like, we had a connection to like this nice hotel. It was Bahia Maro. I remember it was like a nice hotel in South Padre, which like it was all older crowd people. Like we were 19, 20 years old.
What year is this?
This is like 95 or 90. Yeah, 95, I think.
Okay.
And there was like security out there and we just were like, we know, Mike. And like we just said something. And then we hear this laughter inside. They're like, let him in. That was funny. And then we go in and it's who I think is Tanya Harding. Some people see the picture and they're like, that's not her. But she had security at the door,
right?
And she was drinking Bush Light.
Well, I don't think that you have to. I mean, you see the picture; it looks like Tanya Harding.
And I said, "Oh my God!" And she's like, she was like really hush hush about it, and she wouldn't let us take any pictures. And then somehow I remember the next day, we were only there for literally 5 minutes,
right.
And then the guy was like, "All right, you guys got to go." But I got a picture because I looked at my, and this is like back when you had like those disposable cameras, and the picture's on, you just put it up. But
she's got a can of Bush and a cigarette in her hand, and it looks, I mean, it's funny because the whole movie she looks like this.
Yeah, and it's after she was already banned and whatever happened. I don't remember, but
She had probation for 3 years and banned from skating for the rest of her life.
That was 94, 95. Yeah, something like that.
In that year. Yeah.
But, and we forgot about it, like, the next day because, like, by the time we got back to our room, like, and then when we came back to Champaign, like, my friends and I were looking at these pictures, like, oh my God, we forgot about that whole thing. And there's other pictures, too, but not with her, but, like, just that night. And, we're like, we totally forgot about, like, 2 hours of our lives. And that was, part of it.
That's
then
Club Padres 4, my friend.
Yeah, but then we were all, and actually I ran into my friend Steve recently. He came in town. He lives in New York now. We were trying to piece it together, too, because he saw the picture. He's not on Facebook, but then I showed him the picture. He goes, yeah, like he remembered that I talked our way into it.
Into
and
a party.
They let us two in. There was a group of other people they wouldn't let in.
Right.
And that knew something was going on there. But there was nobody. It was like a huge suite, and there was three people inside, or maybe two, and then two security guys, which was weird. Like, why would you? But, I mean, yeah, she was, from what I recall, she was smoking and drinking. And she,
well, and that was part of what, in the movie, they depict how much she just seemed to have no idea, no concept of cause and effect is kind of what it looks like, you know, that she would smoke and drink, and then, you know, she would start to gain weight, she would struggle with landing her jumps, or, you know, it just, it seems to me that because she was so competitive, she could kind of muscle her way through stuff, but wouldn't do the rest of what it took to stay, you know, sharp on the ice. I mean, there comes a point where she loses one coach and goes back to her old coach, and her old coach is like, you're going to train my way. And that's how she gets...
It's like Rocky.
Yeah. So it's how, yes, exactly. Well, that's part of the scenes, is that she has her, like, running up hills and flipping logs.
The tiger
and playing. Carrying, like, a, you know, like an ox with, like, a, you know, piece of wood with a...
And then Ivan Drago comes in, he's like, I must crush you, or what is it?
I think it's something like that.
Is that in there?
That's I, Tonya 4.
Yes, okay. I, Tonya. Oh, my God, that's going to be amazing. Well, she does become a boxer. I mean, Tonya Harding was a boxer. Yeah. She had six
crushed
fights.
Crushed that other person, whoever she fought.
She
right?
had three losses and three wins.
There was another celebrity.
I'm not
celebrity.
Ruining the movie, by the way, because it's this all is part of the public record. Well, it's partly in the movie.
Oh, they talked about that? It was another celebrity, right?
They show her. Yeah, it was, you know who it was? They had her fight a celebrity boxing match. Remember when they used to do this? Paula Jones.
Oh, that's right. She destroyed her.
Paula Jones from the Bill Clinton scandal. Yeah.
Oh, man.
She crushed her, right?
Well,
I'm not surprised.
She won.
Well, she was Paula Jones.
Yeah, Paula Jones. I don't know that
she was a very light thing. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not that I followed Paula Jones all that much, but I'm having trouble.
Well, I met Paula Jones the next year.
No,
I did not. I did not.
What kind of drugs was she doing?
Yeah,
that was an interesting story. No.
Brian, do you have any anybody who's been involved in scandalous stories that you come across that you're willing to share with us?
I can't think of any right.
Isn't it funny? Like I'll remember something later and be like, oh, I didn't tell them about so and so.
My cousin met OJ.
Oh, really?
Yeah. After, this is obviously before he went to jail, but after the incident in Brentwood, he was like a Blockbuster video, and everyone's just staring at him, but no one would approach him. Like,
well, sure,
just,
would you?
And he went up to him and shook his hand.
Oh, my God.
They were scared. Everyone was scared.
Well, funny you should say that. That's in the movie, they talk about, like, you know, not long after this huge story was when O.J. Simpson was on the expressway in his Bronco.
I gotta see this movie.
So when he shook O.J.'s hand, was O.J. wearing the glove?
No, nobody was like going up to him except like then one person did and then a few people did, but everyone else, and he enjoyed it. Like he loved that he had changed the dynamic in the block, but wherever the store they were at, everyone was just staring at him and he's like, yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, really? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But didn't he just get in trouble again?
He got out of jail. Did OJ get in trouble again after he got out of jail? He was drunk somewhere. Wasn't
yeah, he got kicked out of a casino.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I think part of his probation is that he's not supposed to get drunk. I don't think I mean, because I think that was part of it. I don't know.
Maybe it's cocaine.
He's also probably not supposed to get kicked out of casinos. Yeah, so what does he really care
but
about?
But who hasn't been? Who among us hasn't been kicked out of a couple of casinos or four?
Do you guys, have a lot of trouble? I mean, how do you remove people at the House of Blues when they've overconsumed?
We're pretty good at talking people off the ledge, so usually we can get them to leave, and it's time to go, and they will self eject themselves.
like self deportation.
Sometimes security has to escort them out, or some of our off duty police officers.
Yeah, some of the worst nights in comedy, Paul, isn't it when you have audience members who have to be removed? And it's the most awkward thing to be in the middle, because comedy is like nothing else. If a band is interrupted by drunk audience members, the band can stop playing, and they pick up right where they left off. You disrupt a comedy show, and it's like, okay, now what was that? Okay, everybody put yourself back in that moment. We were all having a good time. You know,
unless they're like really disruptive, then people are on your side right away, and they start cheering. Like that recently happened at a show where they were just annoying, and then Marty DeRosa got the crowd to like escort, like clap, like almost applause break, get them out of there.
Get them out of there.
It was amazing. But
Let's take a break for the news. I do want to talk about some of the... There's a couple things happening at the end of this year and at the beginning of next year. Some new laws on the books in Illinois, as we mentioned. Restaurants are going to have some training to make sure that when they say something is allergy-free, is safe for somebody who maybe has a nut allergy, that they can comply with that. But there's also something you need to do if you have... let's just say it before we go to the news. If you are a property owner in the state of Illinois and you think that your property taxes and your income state taxes combined will exceed $10,000, you can avoid paying more money by having by prepaying your property taxes before Sunday, before midnight Sunday, before the end of 2017. It's going to save people thousands of dollars if your combined property taxes and state income taxes exceed $10,000. So, because, Paul,
I was told it was differently today.
It was. I shared the information online. What did you hear?
I thought it was just a property tax.
Nope, it's both. You cannot itemize. You can't. You can no longer claim your state taxes off of your federal forms.
I'm not an accountant.
I know. You're a lawyer, though. So.
And I could do this thing.
Did your accountant tell you that it was just property taxes?
Yeah, but
I'll take a look.
Ladies and gents, turn up the sound system to the sound of carpet. In the GMB ghetto blues from the refugee camp.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And there are some changes coming with your 2008. As the calendar rolls over to 2018, there's going to be some different ways that you can itemize on your income taxes federally. And one of those is whether or not you can deduct your state, local, and property taxes. Tax legislation, this is from the Washington Post, the tax legislation limits the value of the state and local tax deduction to $10,000 and actually bans prepayment of local and state income taxes. Now, it has left vague whether or not you can prepay your property taxes. And one of the ways that you can prepay is if your property tax has already been assessed. So that's one of the ways. And so they're like in the state of Illinois, about 47,000 people have been prepaying their tax. I'm sorry, Paul. Am I freaking you out?
No. I'm just worried now.
I'm sorry. No, you have till Sunday, and you can do it online.
You're not freaking out. You're just worried.
No, I'm just kind
of
like, oh,
plenty of time.
I guess I sound a little bit. I don't exceed. I'm not a property owner, and I don't. My income taxes are. I don't think they will ever exceed $10,000. I could be wrong. I have no idea.
Well, your income tax. I just don't understand. If your state, I guess math is hard. I'll just tell
it. What if they if you combine your income state income tax and your property tax? Do you deduct your state income tax on your federal taxes?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've never done them.
Never?
I mean, I don't do them. I do my taxes. Don't call the cops, people.
This is the other thing, is that nobody does. Do you do your own taxes, Ryan?
No.
Charles?
Yes.
Me too. I've done my. I've had 1 year where I've hired somebody to do my taxes. Cassara, do you do your own taxes?
My mom does taxes out of the house, so she takes.
Can you
care
call her
of all
and ask her?
Honestly, yeah. Like I can easily call her.
Don't call
probably
her.
Probably she's up right now.
You can message her if you want to message her and ask her if.
Let me ask her.
All right. If it's combined state and property taxes, income
state and
state
property
income taxes, limited to $10,000.
Gotcha.
You can deduct on your federal taxes. I'm gonna freak everybody out. This isn't the way we should end the show. Is by freaking everybody out about.
You're informing everyone, not freaking them out, informing.
Informing, yes. Because if you have the opportunity to take care of that, if that's something that affects you, I would rather you know than find out later that you had the potential, the possibility, and the opportunity to do so.
Boom.
Take care of it.
Income tax. Oh, wait a second. Okay. Actually, for you now, of course, income tax applies. For me, it doesn't.
Right.
So for me, income tax doesn't apply. Property tax. I'm going to go into...
There's a link on my Facebook page. Apparently, the Cook County Treasurer's Office, you can do your prepayment on your property taxes online. So
yeah, I went to the site today.
Yeah. So there you go. You can go online and...
The taxes did go up. Property taxes went up again.
And the state of Illinois has some of the highest property taxes in the country.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's gone up significantly since last year I live.
And that's one of the things about the federal income tax changes is that it hits the states that have high property taxes the hardest. So it's
also blue states by chance.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what are we? Probably behind New York, California.
Yeah, those are the ones.
New Jersey.
Well, there's a list of the city, the counties that are going to be the most affected. Most of them are in New Jersey, but it also includes Warren County, Illinois. Lisle, Illinois are going to be amongst the hardest hit.
Oh, yeah.
They're in the top 20. That's,
yeah.
So, where again can people go?
To Cook County.
Treasurer, right?
CookCountyTreasurer.com. No. CookCountyTreasurer.com/payment.aspx. So I will share that on my Facebook page as well. Yeah, it's just something. It's the end of the year. Some people do their taxes on New Year's Eve. I can't do that because I have a lot of 1099s that roll in. I had 1099s come in after April 15th last year.
Yeah.
No, I had to adjust my taxes after I filed because someone sent me a 1099 after April 15th. I was so angry. And they're not going to get in any trouble for that. Mm. As long as they've sent it, they've done. I guess I'm supposed to claim it, but I don't have all the information.
But you can call people that owe you them and say, hey, can you tell me what the amount is on the 1099? Because they've listed it. They've had to file it. It's
right.
Before January, whatever, 15th. But really, I've had people that didn't get it that I, you know. And,
actually,
you know,
they may be able to get in trouble for that because there is a deadline.
They're supposed
right.
No, there actually is a
deadline. Yeah, but who's going to call on? I mean, I'm not going to call and say, hey, this employer didn't. I mean, I guess I could, but I'm not going to rat out somebody who then I'd want to get work from next year. Right? That's the thing about being an independent contractor.
I thought they only have to tell you that what the amount is. They could.
I have to have the slip. I have to have the 1099s.
Oh, yeah. I will say, though, that, you know, I mean, if they, well, okay. If they sent it to you late, I guess maybe I think what that indicates, though, too, is that they sent it to the IRS late. I mean, maybe I'm
right, so maybe the IRS will give them a hard time.
And, yeah, I mean, that's just it.
And I adjusted my taxes. I paid what was the gap. I had a friend of mine who didn't claim one of her independent contracting 1099s, and she was freaking out. It's not illegal to do it. It's illegal to not pay your taxes. If you miss a slip, then you readjust your Yeah, you have to amend your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but that's the thing. Like right now, there are people kind of freaking out. Like when I hear people talking about financial stuff, it gives me butterflies because I start worrying about, is there something I'm missing? Is there something I should be doing? But this is a good time. You know, it's the end of the year to assess what's going on. Start Googling. Find out how the new tax forms are going to affect you because it changes right away in 2018.
I just asked my accountant. He's like the most relaxed person I call. I'm like, wait, is this sad? He goes, no, it's all good. He's like super relaxed. I'm like, oh, he's comforting.
Do you need all your receipts for him?
No. I have a thing on my computer. I send him that, and then he tells me, give me this, this, and this. Usually it's less than 10 things.
Right.
And well, he's like super calming.
Someone told me that for people who claim 1099s are going to have, there's going to be like one lump sort of deduction, so you don't have to itemize anymore, so there's like just a general standardized deduction. And I'm hoping that came through because that, oh my God, if I don't have to like go through.
I heard it's a lot easier is what he
That's
made
what
it
I
sound
heard.
Like.
He that
said it's
great.
Not as bad as people think, but who knows?
Right. Well, if it's easier and, you know, people can see less coming out of their paychecks, that's a good thing, right? Have a little bit more money to
short term
to spend.
The first part is right. It's going to be easier.
Yes.
I think it remains to be seen whether that's
it's going
to
benefit everybody.
I think in the first few years it is.
Right.
Something exception stops after a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Well, the
for
tax...
For individuals.
Yeah, for individuals, there is an expiration date.
Right.
And the ones for corporations and big...
Forever.
Yeah, forever. They're permanent. I mean, until there's a change in Washington, D.C., the next, you know...
Right.
Whether it's the next legislature or the next executive can have a different...
It.
Yeah. So, but we'll see. I mean, this could...
Have corporations.
If they can repatriate money that is offshore, that would be great as well. I think that we can bring money back that's in accounts like in the Cayman Islands. That's supposed to be part of this tax bill.
And in Bitcoin? Is that in there?
Now, Bitcoin, I don't understand. I know Michael Heidemann, who, by the way, is celebrating in Las Vegas and has been texting with Ryan about his escapades.
He's texted him, too.
And Bitcoin is completely confused. Do you know anything about Bitcoin, Ryan?
No. I can't make any sense of it.
Well, they're saying like this could be dangerous for the market, too, because... Sarah, do you understand anything about the
it's
Bitcoins?
Like virtual money.
Right.
But... From what I'm understanding, because me and my mom are looking into it, no one understands like how to pull their money out of it.
Right.
So like people that bought stock in it aren't understanding how to pull that stock out if they just want to pull out the funds from it.
Right.
And that's all that I really know about it. I have friends that are like going nuts over it. I don't I don't know how it works. I just know that it's virtual money, pretty much.
You maybe we should just start one.
Just start a Bitcoin?
Just start a Bitcoin?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do that. Charles, are you in on the Bitcoins?
No. I mean, right now, one costs over $14,000.
Yeah, they become prohibitively expensive.
I mean, there are several other cryptocurrencies.
Can you buy portions of one?
No.
Group together 50 people.
The issue, too, is that there was recently effectively a run on the banks, so only it happened with cryptocurrencies. And because Bitcoin dropped from 20,000 roughly to 14,000 over the course of something like, I don't know, 24 to 36 hours, I use the term run on the banks. Basically, there was like a contagion, you know. I mean, it was like people got jittery about Bitcoin, and so it affected basically all the other cryptocurrencies. They all plunge in value.
Yeah.
Oh, I just like the way it sounds.
And there's Bitcoin? there's no like FDIC insurance, you know, like there is with banks.
Right. Is there a crypt keeper?
That's something that we could create.
There should be.
That's so funny.
We could be the crypt keepers.
Yeah, we could.
I feel like it's a movie.
I kind of feel like that every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did anyone ever buy any gold or silver? I always wondered if I should have bought gold and silver like 10, 20 years ago.
No, but if you watch Fox TV, those commercials are on nonstop.
All the time.
I watched a lot of Fox TV in Florida with my family.
Did you buy any gold while you were there?
I thought about it. It's very convincing.
It is very convincing.
But everything, after you watch it for 24 hours, which I think if you watch any, you know, I watch a lot, whatever your news channel is, if you watch any one channel, like something, it's going to affect you negatively.
Oh, yeah.
I don't leave anything on.
If you watch, like, CNN all night, you're like, oh, my God, we're going to die tomorrow.
You know what? That's why I'm watching things on Netflix instead.
That is
I watch
smart.
Reruns. I watch Cheers reruns.
I'm watching The Crown right now.
How's The Crown?
Okay.
How is that?
What I like about it is that it gets me interested and curious about things that happened around that time period. So mm-hmm. I'll be watching an episode. Like, I did not know about the Great Smog episode of 1952 when from, I believe it was December 5th through December 9th, London was sort of under this a combination of a weather event, an anti-cyclone, and the overproduction of coal. It was all trapped over the city, and people were struggling and having respiratory infections. And like they thought initially that 4,000 people died as a result of the smog, and later numbers, they put that at about 12,000 people. I had no idea, and Winston Churchill was not responding to it because he was like, it's weather. It'll take care of itself. The sun will come out. And then in the Crown, they fictionalized. I don't know if it's true that someone who worked for him, that something happened and it kind of spurred him into action and he came out kind of gloriously shining in the moment. Mm-hmm. So I was curious. So I learned more about that. I had no idea about the Great Smog. But on the other hand, like I'm not sure if I want to watch it anymore because Prince Philip is a jerk. Mm-hmm. Not just in the movie, but I started Googling stuff about Prince Philip and the things that he has said to people. And have you read anything about Prince Philip?
I'm not.
Let me see if I can find some of his quotes. But I also found out that the king who abdicated so he could marry Wallis Simpson, he had written her a letter when he was younger about his younger brother John, who died at about the age of 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. He had epilepsy and autism, and the king said that, and he said to his lady friend at the time, Wallis Simpson, he was glad that he died, that he had, that the kid had just been basically an animal, and it was a relief to the family. And, like, it was really hard. I mean, I know that's how we treated the disabled. That's how a lot of people felt. I know that the Kennedys also had, Rose was also in a home for the rest of her life as well.
Well, only after she was lobotomized.
Right.
And she was lobotomized because she, like, you know, basically acted out. There was that, you know, there's some, I think, I don't necessarily know that there was anything wrong with her. I think she was rebellious, and then they had her lobotomized.
And then they had her basically locked up for the rest of her life.
Right, because at that point, she actually may have needed to be, because again, they went in and they, you know, basically poked holes in her brain with a scalpel.
Wow. Yeah. Hmm. Well, apparently the royal family locked away their young son, John, because they were embarrassed by him. And it's really hard for me to like watch any of these characters now, just because and by the way, so that kept me up for like hours just thinking about, because they didn't want there to be any sort of idea that perhaps there was something wrong with the lineage, right? That they were worried that, oh, well, people are going to say that we're not pure bloods, or see the monarchy has flaws in the bloodlines and things like that. So Taxi Driver Bob is on the line. So you want to talk about both things, taxes and the crown. How are you doing?
Yeah. I'm watching, I guess we're kind of in sync with watching The Crown. I originally didn't want to watch it because I just thought it was going to probably be, I don't know, boring and lousy, but it really intrigues me. I want to buy Winston Churchill's biography.
Yeah, see?
I thought he was just and what was that, Lithgow? Who plays him in that?
Correct, it's John Lithgow plays Winston Churchill. He's doing a great job.
He plays a great, absolutely great job in the whole thing, and it was so funny when that modernist painter painted him. He burned the painting because he wanted him to paint a young, young-looking Winston Churchill. But he was, you know, like what, 79 or 80 at that point.
Right,
it was right before he resigned.
Wow,
and it was, and then the Marburg papers where, the king, his brother, who wanted to come back to the country because he got basically ostracized for being marrying a woman that was previously married and had a bad reputation and blah blah blah. It was I just love it. It's great. I've been learning so much about English history for that show.
Here, I was mentioning Prince Philip saying some kind of off, I guess unfeeling things. Here he said 1981 during the recession in England. He goes, everybody is saying we must have more leisure. Now they're complaining they're unemployed. It's just sort of he's a little bit disconnected. And here in Scotland, he asks, how do you keep the natives off the booze long enough to get them through the test? Asking a driving instructor in Scotland. There's one where he says, if a man is opening a car door for a woman, either the marriage is new or the car is.
But I'm at the point now where Queen Elizabeth, and her husband, what's her husband's name again?
Prince Philip.
Sent their Charlie off to a school where Charlie really didn't want to go to, and they've been just, you know, relentlessly, you know, treating him poorly at the school and all that stuff. And Prince Philip's father was like a supporter of the Nazis.
Yes, that's another thing. Not just him, but I believe that Wallace and, as I mentioned, Wallace Simpson and King Edward, who abdicated to marry her, they met with Hitler in the 30s.
But the
thing is, watching The Crown, you're like, wait, what happened? Who are these people? Anyway, the other thing we were talking about were taxes. What did you want to say about taxes?
Oh, I didn't want to say.
Oh, you want to say about taxes?
I don't want to say anything about taxes. Well, the only thing is that I would say about it is my dad was a CPA, and he passed away a couple years ago, on Christmas Day, and he used to do my taxes all the time. I had to get an actual accountant to do my taxes. It was so convenient to have my dad just do it.
Yeah,
and, you know, it was like effortless every year.
And keep it in the family. Well, thank you, Taxi Driver Bob. Have a great New Year's, and we'll talk to you again soon. Okay.
You do too. Did you hear that mariachi band earlier?
I did. I didn't even get a chance to tell Esmeralda.
Great.
They were wonderful.
I was hoping you'd come in and sing with them before you
yeah.
started.
Yeah, I don't.
That
would
have been
great. I don't sing. Thanks, Bob. Well, talk to you later. Yep.
I got the magic in me. Every time I touch that track, it turns into gold.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. In 13 hours, you can head over to the House of Blues for their Happy Holidays. They're featuring their special winter beers and their featured menu items. Like, what's Carolina Mess?
That's fries, gravy,
yes,
brisket,
mm-hmm, all that.
A cheese sauce.
Sure. Why wouldn't you do all that?
It's a mess. It's a Carolina mess.
Some fried chicken, get your jambalaya, your brisket, and ribs. So much great cornbread. And that's tomorrow night, tonight, I guess you would say, at 5 p.m. till 8. And the band playing for you for your entertainment will be Get Up with the Get Downs. And what's the website, by the way, for House of Blues?
Houseofblues.com.
Houseofblues.com. And follow them on Twitter at House of Blues, I'm guessing. House of Blues Chicago.
House of Blues Chicago. H-O-B Chicago.
Hob. It's the Hob. Chicago. And then on New Year's Eve, ringing the new year with Flogging Molly in their music hall. Opening for them will be the Tossers and Flatfoot 56. In the restaurant, they're going to be having a New Year's Eve dinner with Blues by Mike Wheeler and Corey Dennison. And then after 10, they're going to have Lucky Boys Confusion with The Waiting Game and Top Shelf Liquors.
Thank you. Yes.
No, thank you for all the great food you brought in tonight. Steve Dale's coming in studio. I'll clean up for him. I know we've got... You can eat all this. There's great coleslaw, cornbread, ribs, jambalaya.
I ate all the coleslaw.
You didn't eat all of it. I think there's a container of coleslaw right there.
Yeah,
there's some coleslaw. No, there's another one right there. Okay. Don't let him see the coleslaw, Steve. He'll be taking that away from you anymore.
I'm not gonna eat
that. That's okay. I'm not a coleslaw fan, so it's okay.
All right.
But boy, the studio has never ever smelled so
good. Isn't it delicious? Yeah.
Yes.
It smells good.
Yes, that's why I came in tonight, really.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was for the food.
Well, you could have come and grabbed some food earlier. The pickles are good. I feel badly that we can't keep them for Michael. He loves pickles.
No, it's fine. I do remember that about Michael.
Yes.
Oddly enough, I actually do remember that.
I hope people don't start calling him Pickles, because
I'm going to.
Don't call him Pickles.
I just Mr. changed him Pickles. In my phone.
To Pickles. Hey, Pickles. Pickles McGee. If you call him Pickles McGee, then it's okay. I don't know. Right. It's just kind of fun. Steve Dale, you're filling in for Nick D next.
You know, first of all, I filled in for you, I think it was two nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was Christmas night. Was that two nights ago?
Yes, yes,
yeah. It's not easy to fill your shoes. It really
what
isn't.
Do you mean?
I try because you're great at what you do. So I had all these people in the studio singing Christmas music, and it was really nice.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Tonight or this morning, you know, I do a podcast called Steve Dale's Other World, where I interview a wide variety of people.
Uh-huh.
Everyone from Dr. Lester Fisher. Do you guys, anybody remember him? He used to be the director at the Lincoln Park Zoo for like 37 years. He was on TV a lot in Chicago on Ray Rayner's show.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll take a clip from him. You may not know Tim Grover's name, but you know who he trained. He's a professional trainer. Guys like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, just guys like that. So I'll take a clip from my conversation with him as well.
So is he a trainer in the athletic sense? I mean, as far as like just working out, or does he actually train basketball players only?
Trains basketball players and other athletes. And he, what we really talked about is training people for success in life.
Okay.
And we'll also talk with the gorilla lady.
Oh, yeah. Well why would you try to the gorilla lady?
Of course.
You want to try to the gorilla lady.
Tara.
Does she like being called the gorilla lady?
Probably she would take it as a compliment.
Okay,
yes.
Just checking. Want to make
sure. She's the executive director of the Diane Fossey Foundation.
Great.
Named for
Diane Fossey.
Yes. Roz Varon from Channel 7. So,
love Roz Varon.
Yes. Who
Breast
doesn't?
Breast cancer survivor.
So clips.
Travel reporter.
Yeah, an amazing person. So we have clips from all these different people. I also want to talk about what Donald Trump said, how he feels about pets. Did you read about this?
He basically called Mike Pence a wuss.
A yokel was
a
the
yokel.
Exact word. Right. But in doing so...
What's worse, a yokel or a wuss? What do you think, Ryan? What's worse?
Wuss.
Wuss is worse? Okay, so a yokel's not so bad.
I think.
Okay.
I don't know that it's so good, but you know what? If I'm a yokel because I love pets, I'm proud to be a yokel.
I am a yokel as well. Charles, are you a yokel?
Yeah, I'm in.
Paul?
I'll be a yokel.
Are you yokel adjacent?
Sure.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Adjacent to Ryan.
Room full of yokels.
The 10 most underrated movies of 2017.
Ooh.
And also some very bizarre New Year's resolutions.
Okay.
So everyone talks about, you know, I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to work out. These are different. One guy said he's going to start smoking.
Oh.
For example.
So,
I know.
So they can quit in 2019?
I don't know. It gives them something to do in 2019.
That's
I don't
horrible.
Know.
Maybe because he was watching I, Tonya, because they do a lot of smoking in that movie.
Pardon me?
A lot of smoking in the movie I, Tonya.
Start smoking.
Do you ever watch a movie and they're smoking so much you're like, God, I could really use a cigarette?
No.
Nobody? Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. I have.
All right,
I was watching a rerun, a TV rerun show from the 1950s a couple of nights ago, and they walked around smoking.
Yeah.
And it's like, Wow.
Everybody did.
Reruns of Johnny Carson, all the guests.
All the
guests. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, I want a cigarette right now.
It was a big deal when his ashtray was stolen, if you remember.
Yes, I did. Carson, he had a standing ashtray, too. Did you remember that? He had almost like a pedestal in the glass ashtray that would rest in there. Yeah.
I don't remember.
He would smoke in between breaks, and he had another ashtray underneath them, too.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
That would be, you know, so.
I always feel bad for people who go to Blackhawks games. I'm like, why are these people all leaving? And then I realize, and they come back in, and they're all covered in cigarette smoke. They all couldn't wait for the end of the game to go have a cigarette. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh.
You know what? Some condominium, large buildings, like 20-story buildings are doing now. They're making these buildings, even inside your unit.
Yep.
Non-smoking. Now, I don't know how you enforce that. Well, how would you know?
You know, I do the stairwells. I haven't done them in a while. I got to get back in these stairwells.
What do you do in the stairwells?
I stair climb.
Oh, I know that, yes.
And, but there's one set of stairs where someone smokes every day. And, hallway just reeks. And they don't even bother. They use the stairs like their ashtray. They just drop all their ashes and their cigarette butts in the... I took a picture of it, but it doesn't photograph well. You'd be surprised how badly cigarette butts and ashes photograph. I'd have to sit there and wait for someone. I mean, like, you know, am I going to climb up a few stairs and wait for someone to light up?
You could follow the scent.
Snapchat the whole thing. Yeah, right. That's Steve Dale. He's coming up next. He's in for Nick D. And we're going to head out. I have to go because I've got to get home and watch The Crown some more. So.
Oh, tell me about, real quickly, you're going to be somewhere.
Yes, on New Year's Eve.
Yes, tell me about that.
I will be at the Filament Theater in Portage Park. Thank you for asking.
Where is that?
It's in Portage Park on Milwaukee Avenue near Irving. So it's across the street from the old Portage Park Theater, not far from, you know, where Fantasy Costumes are. It's a really, it's a cool little theater. It's a small venue, only seats about 80 to 100 people. So whatever, the nice thing about that is no matter how many people, if I don't sell out, it still is very festive. And if I do sell out, it's a packed room. So we are going to have a family-friendly show at 7:30 for all ages. Kids under 12 are free. Nice. If people want to bring their dogs, I mean, I guess that might be all right. I don't know what the theater's policy is.
The theater may not be so happy about that.
They might not like that, no.
But they can bring their gerbils.
They can bring their... That's weird. We have like little wheels for gerbils. That'd be the weirdest New Year's Eve party ever. So we are going to have games for the kids. We're going to have chucking candy in cans. Comedian Paul Farvar and I will play a game.
Who?
Farvar.
Yeah, right here. Yeah.
And we're gonna play some make me laugh type games with the boys and girls. We're gonna see who can make them laugh using corny jokes that are appropriate for everybody.
Uh-huh.
And we're gonna do some comedy. We're gonna have music by Rob and the Representatives. And then for the 10 p.m. show. Oh, by the way, for the kids, we're gonna ring in New Year's at 9 p.m. with Argentina. So I'll figure out some way to live stream.
The country?
Well, I mean, yeah, we're gonna not with all of them, but I mean that's when they are.
The whole country will appear at your.
Well, that's when they celebrate their New Year's. So.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
At the same time.
At 9 o'clock.
At 9
their
p.m.
Time.
Yes.
Okay. Why Argentina?
9 p.m. our time, and well, was that in Brazil? I just like the way Argentinians talk. They talk like this.
Argentina.
So I just chose Argentina over Brazil.
Uh-huh.
I could say both parts of South America. I guess.
I prefer the Brazilian national drink. Caprina.
We won't be able to start up to the kids. So with the kids, we're going to do New Year's at 9 p.m. And then at 10 p.m. of the adult show, which doesn't mean like it's not going to be filthy dirty. It's just not going to be fun for kids. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be some material that if they're under 18, perhaps, let's say, is not appropriate. We're going to play What's in the Box, which is our game that we used to play here on the air, where contestants have to guess if a review from Amazon is for an appliance or an adult toy. So that's one of the games that we're going to play. And I think we should also do chicken candy from cans for the adults.
It's going to be an adult version.
That's weird. I don't know what that is.
Will there be refreshments?
Yes. So we're going to have champagne at the 10 p.m. show and cider for the kids at the 7:30 show. And then beverages will be available for purchase from the theater.
Excellent.
So that's all. Thank you very much. Are you going to come join us?
You never know. Where do people learn more about it?
Eventbrite.com. Wow, this is so weird.
Do that again?
Eventbrite.com.
Eventbrite. I know that. Okay.
Yeah, Event. Yeah. Okay. Eventbrite. You're right. Some people said it took them a year to figure out what the name of my show was.
And Bright is B-R-I-T-E?
Yes. Okay. Eventbrite.com for ticket information. And search for Patty Vasquez, New Year's Eve, P-A-T-T-I.